Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show produced by Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And we also have a show for the women in your lives that features three female moderators and runs tonight at the exact same time with the same topic. You can get more info about either show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in either one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So if you're a man, please dial 724-444-7444, then 598-98#, finally 1# for your pen. So call in and let your voice be heard on the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable. And furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to be able to just come to our show as a man, and that's it. The virtual talk shows always present the hottest topics for the discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is, am I a better father than I am a husband? Lord have mercy. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot, your DJ, and a ventriloquist for the evening. More on that later. Now, I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion by midnight. That's right, I said midnight, because this flight is going to take a little bit longer than normal. Stay on as long as your schedule permits, but I'm going to be on here until midnight, and I will guarantee that you won't want to hang up before then. But this is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that's fine, too. And I do still have this. That's the seatbelt sound when you're on an airplane. When you hear that sound, it means to take your seat and buckle your seatbelts because it's about to get a little bumpy. That sound is just to put you on notice that it might get a little uncomfortable. And, fellas, I'm predicting that there's going to be a whole lot of turbulence tonight. But please try to hang on until the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. Neither parenting nor being married comes with an instruction manual. But are we better equipped to be a father than a husband? That's the first question of the evening. Neither parenting nor being married comes with an instruction manual, but are we better equipped to be a father than a husband? It's on you, fellas.
Well, you know, I think the title is a little interesting because I think if you are a better husband, if you're really good at being a husband, then you're just a good father by default.
Okay, good words, good words. Anybody else? Are we better equipped to be a father than a husband?
I don't think it's either way. It kind of depends on the role model that you had. And if you didn't have a good role model as a father, you probably didn't have a good role model as a husband.
Okay, okay, good words, good words. But, I mean, do we instinctively know how to parent? I mean, we all know what a bad parent is. But is proper parenting innate?
Nope.
No? Speak on it.
I mean, you know, we talk about it all the time, but it's actually easier to get a marriage license than it is to get a driver's license. I mean, you know, to get a driver's license, you gotta get the book, you gotta study, you gotta learn the rules of the road before you can even get a learner's permit to start to learn to drive. Then you gotta go through courses, and then you gotta show you can handle a vehicle. Any two idiots with $40 can go down and get a marriage license, punch out a couple of kids, and really mess them up.
Oh, man, good words, good words. But, you know, you talked about role models, and, I mean, you look at a situation where someone grew up and had a bad childhood. But a bad childhood could mean a better father, but not necessarily a better husband. You know, because, I mean, we all know what a bad parent is. I mean, we all know that. But do y'all think that having and raising children is actually easier than being married? Having and raising children actually easier than being married?
You know, I don't think you can be a good husband and be a bad father. I think they go hand in hand. I mean, if you're an awful father, you know, a big part of your responsibility, you know, as a husband is to be a good father.
Okay.
You know, whatever somebody considers a good husband, they may think, well, you know what, if I just bring home the bacon, you know, I'm a good husband. But if, you know, if that's your idea of what a good husband is, you know, that may be the example that you see. Think of it is, it's a whole lot more than just that.
But does being good at one automatically make you good at both?
I would say no. I don't think so at all. I mean, it is something that I think you have to become versed or skilled in both at some point, whether you have mentors, role models, or whatever. And if you didn't have any, you still have to constantly work at it. But I don't think just because you do one, it automatically puts you in the category to do well with the other. Because there's some individuals, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, where you may just be really into your wife. You care less about the kids and all these other things that are going on. That may have just come about and come with the territory, but you may just be focusing on your wife.
Well, I mean, you know, I married a woman with three kids, and, you know, I understand what you're saying, but, I guess you're right. I guess there are guys that just get married and only focus on the woman. I don't see that marriage lasting long, but... Because the kids are definitely, you know, a part of her. You marry her, you marry the kids too. So, you know, ain't no way around that. So, you know, I don't know. I guess you got a good point.
Yeah, I just think that by default, just because you are a good husband or a husband, it doesn't mean you're going to be a good father. I mean, because there's tons of you know, individuals that I can definitely think of, and probably all of us can think of, where they came from a two-parent household. You know, the parents loved them, but the kids definitely feel like their dad wasn't the best father in the world. And that doesn't mean that he was abusive, he did anything, he was a drinker, none of that. They just felt like he wasn't the best father. But the wife, on the other hand, would say, you know, your father did the best he could, you know, he loved you, I love him, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. But the kids and everybody else, and sometimes even those men will say to you, yeah, you know, I wasn't the best father.
Hmm.
You know, but it's one of those things where I don't think that it goes hand in hand. I think that it ultimately is something that you have to consistently work at. You got to work at both.
I agree with you because your definition, I believe, of a husband, what they call a good husband, is somebody that got a job, pay the bills, not verbally abusive, just a good man. But that don't necessarily mean, like you say, that he can be a good father. But some people just don't have patience for kids, and just because you a good provider don't make you a good father. If you ain't putting that time in, they may not want for nothing as far as the materialistic, the lights off, being hungry, being dirty. But to put that time in with a kid, that's like what you said about some people say they come from a two-parent household, but if you don't put that time into your child, then that makes you can't be a good father. If you don't know anything about your child other than that's my child by my wife, that don't make you a good father. You got to get involved in the activities, getting them involved, spending that quality time. And a lot of people can't juggle the two because they're working in the time that they had. They try to put it into their wife to make the wife happy. And they're happy. And she's saying, oh, he's a good husband. He ain't cheating because he's home. My bill's paid. You know what I mean? He's the kids. He's my kid's father. So that's what they consider a good husband. But he might not be putting that quality time in with them kids. The kid's view might be totally different because he's there. But if he ain't putting no time in and all his time is directed to mom, kids see that. You know, kids see that. They want that time, too. That's just my opinion about it.
Yeah, good words. What do y'all think women want in a man? Well, follow a good husband.
Don't go there, Rodney.
They don't. They don't.
Hey,
they want some of them to be on TV. Then they want what the girls had. Then they want what their mama had. They don't know. They don't know. They want what the Bible say they should have. They don't know. It changes. It changes.
Yep. But on your previous question, I would have to say that in both of those roles, that husband or that father role, I guess the question would have to be for me, whose definition is it that we're going by of good? Because in my mind, I might perceive that I am a good husband, I'm a good father. In her mind, it might be something different. To an outsider, it might be something different.
Yeah, good words, good words. Anybody else? What do women want in a man?
Again, that's on a sliding scale. That could be anything.
Yeah. That's the open end question. They don't know. Every day is you like. Now, just yesterday you wanted this. You do that, then tomorrow it might be something different. They unpredictable creatures. I don't understand.
They want you to clean the house. They want you to spend time with your kids.
Exactly.
They want you to hit that spot.
They want you to have a grass. Job.
They want you to go to Lowe's and get the closet fixed. They want you to go handle that noise. They want you, you know, it's like, what you gonna do?
And if you see one of them State Farm commercials where they conjure up their agent, and the one girl says, well, you know, the agent should be sensitive, and she has a sensitive one, but he has the dark side.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that thing goes on forever.
Yeah, that's a losing cause there.
Mm. Well, let me ask y'all this. If I were to ask your first wife compared to your second or third wife, which one would say that you were a good husband?
Both mine would say. They both.
Both of
them? Both of them would.
Speak on it, brother. Why is that?
Oh, Lord.
I bet the trophy.
Huh? You just the trophy?
I better get the trophy.
Anybody else, if I were to ask your first wife compared to your second or third or fourth, which one would say that you were a good husband? Which one would say that you were a good husband?
Only the one I got now.
That's it.
Only like one I have now. Like I said, that good thing is based on definition.
Right.
It depends on when you ask, too.
Right. It depends on when you ask. Good words. Good word. Anybody else? Anybody else? Good words, fellas. Good words.
Right now, man, I think I'm out. But ask her when that visitor hit.
Yeah, we talked about that, brother. We talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that. Well, I'm gonna flip it on around. If I were to ask your firstborn compared to your second, your third, your fourth, or fifth, which one of your children would say that you're a good father?
I would say my second and my third.
Okay. Whoops, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. Why your second and your third?
Because my first I had him when I was young, so I really didn't know what being a father was all about. You know, I was still caught up in just being young and just being in the girl. You know, I took care of my financial obligation, you know, but outside of really putting in quality time, and I was busy into my own lifestyle until I, you know, had my second and I had it in the marriage. So I was a little more stable there. And my third in my marriage. So, but my first, I was young. I was only 21. So I was still trying to find myself at the time.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? If I were to ask your firstborn compared to your subsequent children, which one would say that you were a good father?
You know, again, I think that changes in time. A lot of times kids don't understand decisions that we have to make. And as they mature and grow, they start to see things differently. My son, for many years, I had a lot of contention with. And a couple of years back, he came over and asked if he could speak to me. And I said, sure. And he said, you know, Dad, when I was growing up, I thought you were always wrong. He said, I saw things as black and white, and you were always wrong.
Go ahead, brother. Somebody's got some feedback or something.
Oh.
He said,
Dad, since I've grown up and left the house, he said, I realize that life isn't just black and white. There's a lot of gray out there, and when you're in the midst of it, you can't always see it.
Good words. Anybody else?
You asked him when he was 19, it would have been a whole different ballgame.
But are we better fathers to our sons or our daughters?
I think we're different.
Yeah, 100% different. Yeah,
depending on the
can't
sex of the child.
Yeah,
so speak on it. Somebody get on out there. Go ahead.
Well, I tell you, with my stepchildren, my daughters, I'm more about teaching them how to be classy, young ladies, and you know how to carry themselves. But you know, my son, trying to teach him how to be his own man. So it's just different approaches.
Yeah, teach the boy to take the hit.
Yeah.
You know, because a man takes a hit for the family. And he's going to be out there and be the one taking the hit.
Absolutely. And
you don't teach him how to take the hit. When that hit comes, he's going to run.
Yeah. He ain't said no better.
Good words. Anybody else? Better fathers to our sons or our daughters?
I think we take more responsibility over our sons because we know that what our sons are going to go through in the future. We are protective more over our daughters. You know?
Exactly.
So we'll get on our sons because we know how society is going to treat them. And with our daughters, we try to protect them from evil, you know, from the evil guy, from the evil world, and make sure that they're independent now instead of you know, depending on some bump.
Good words. I want y'all to listen to this clip. It's about 45 seconds.
I don't know when the point you do it. Do you teach your daughter? Can we teach our daughter how to be a good wife, or how to be, or do we want to teach our daughter how to be submissive to her husband?
No.
Because how many people, and you say no, but
you said to your husband. That sounds like a broad, and I've heard this from women.
No, well, she's gonna be married. If God willing, my daughters are gonna be married one day, and if we're gonna do it all around. You know, we just can't teach our daughter to be independent. How do we teach her to the okay? Well, this is what, you know, what a wife should be. That as far as what a husband expects. Because if no one taught your wife that, how can you expect your wife to teach her that?
Question, fellas. Based on the way we raise our children, are we teaching them to be better parents or better spouses?
Better parents, I think.
Okay. Let's speak on it. Go ahead, brother.
Definitely better parents.
Why is that? Somebody explain.
Well, I think you don't think of teaching them how to relate in a relationship, and you don't really teach them how, you know, I have not talked to my girls or my stepson, my stepdaughters or stepson very often about what attracts me to their mother and, you know, why their mother's attracted to me and, you know, how we complement each other's weaknesses and strengths. We don't get into that, you know, coexisting. We don't get into talking about that. Not that often. Very, very rarely. Like maybe every 2 years or something like that. I don't know.
Now, for me, it's probably exactly opposite. I know, especially my youngest daughter, we are constantly showing her and teaching her how to be a good wife and what a wife's role and responsibility is to her husband, because that's her number one and main responsibility is to her husband.
I think that is absolutely great, and I think, sadly, I think that's probably the exception and not the rule. And for me, if I look, I just look at, you know, in society, it seems like people wait longer and longer nowadays to get married. It seems like, you know, I mean, a lot of people have multiple partners, you know, sexual experiences before they, you know, decide to walk the plank. You know, whereas in the older days, you know, it seemed like people were getting married late teens, early 20s, you know, now, as they say, 30 is the new 20. And, you know, I think that's kind of a manifestation of the question, Rodney, you know, in that, yeah, I mean, we might teach our kids, you know, to be good parents and the values that we instill, you know, in them and, you know, just to be overall good people. But, however, you know, I definitely think that, you know, we probably fall short when it comes to, you know, reminding them that, you know, ultimately, you know, they should be looking for their, you know, their partner in, you know, in life and, you know, in telling them, you know, the things that they're going to need, you know, to know in order to be, you know, a strong husband or a strong wife. So,
well, we've got to, I mean, hearing, I'm not there yet because my little girl's only 16 months old, so we're not at these conversations yet. But as well,
no, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
We need to maybe try to work on that spouse piece. Because otherwise, we're teaching these kids, men and young girls and young boys, that as long as you're a good parent, it doesn't matter if you get married.
Mm.
I mean, because honestly, that, I mean, it could translate into that.
You know,
because whether or not we are purposely doing it or, you know, not mindful of it, we need to make a conscious effort to really talk about the spouse piece. Because otherwise, I mean, that's great that you know how to be the greatest parent in the world, but why are you not married? So you had a child out of wedlock?
You
I mean,
know,
what?
I think we focus so much on teaching these kids how to survive and survival instincts to just existing, not coexisting.
Right. But the problem with that is the fact that through this whole concept of surviving, I mean, it's rough when you try to fly solo.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with you. Hey, hey.
It's like, and that's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is that I hear what you're saying. I'm not at that point with those conversations yet. But I do hear what you're saying, but more than likely, 9 times out of 10, we probably are talking about being a good parent more so than a spouse. But we need to probably focus in on doing that because it is something where a person can read between the lines and be like, well, as long as I'm a good parent, I don't got to get married.
Mm.
Mom and daddy going to be happy with me and proud of me because I'm doing what they taught me, and that's to be a good parent.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions we started asking our daughter when she was about 14 was, what are you looking for in a husband? And she would look at us like we were crazy. I'm not looking for a husband. And one of the things we would obviously say to her, we know you're not looking to be married now, but what qualities are you looking for in a husband? Okay? Because that's truly what the dating process is. And we would see a lot of her friends, you know, parents start to crave stuff like, you're not going to date until you're 18. You're not going to date until you're 21. And we would look at this and just be absolutely floored, because if you kind of drop that kind of edict on your child, they're either going to lie to you and sneak around and do what they're going to do and get their advice from stupid 15 and 16-year-old kids, or if they actually do follow what you say, when they get out of the house, you have zero influence to teach them. So we've used these years to teach our child how to choose a husband, what qualities you're looking for, what you need to bring, what God has to say about a husband and a wife relationship. So, and she's seen her friends that have zero guidance go out there and try to do it that way. And it's an amazing difference. If you ever get to talk to our child, you'll hear it. It amazes me how these parents will make these edicts, you know, especially with the daughters, hardly ever the sons. You know, you're not going to date until you're, you know, 19 years old. You know, so you're either going to create a liar out of your child, or you're going to set somebody up that's not even prepared to get into the realm of picking a spouse and how to be a good spouse.
Good words, good words. And I want to play the rest of the clip. It's about a minute and a half. You know, on that, but on that note, listen to this, fellas.
I teach this group, and I'm not a pastor. You know, I'm a humble servant, just like the next man. And I teach this group, Royal Rangers, at church on Wednesdays. And I talk to them about, you know, the Bible. They're probably 8 to 12. Patrice, what are the ages in my group?
You have the five to seven-year-olds, and I have the 8 through 12.
Okay, so anyway, you know, they give you this big book. I didn't look through the big book because it was too much. So I started with Genesis, and I'm working my way down.
Hmm.
Okay. And they're really enjoying this, these young boys. They're really enjoying it because I make it fun. You know, and I give them little homework assignments to bring back, and, you know, but I'm getting blessed as well.
Yes.
But from being on this call, I also have a 13-year-old and a 17-year-old teenage girls in my house, and I don't have Bible study with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaving it up to church. I'm leaving it up to the church to handle that, like I do for these other children. But from what I'm hearing on this call, I need to take that responsibility and do that as well. And maybe make another night, like a Thursday night. And if it's a half an hour, you know what I mean? And instill a Bible study in my house with my own daughters. Now, it's good to reach outside the house, too. But I also got to, like the man said, I have to start at home.
Question, fellas. Are you being a better father to somebody else's kids compared to your own?
Boy, this is a nerve right here. Yeah, I guess I am. I'm doing a lot of volunteering in the community, a lot of tutoring at elementary schools. So, yeah, you know, I can go and admit it, yeah.
Good words, good words. Anybody else, you being a better father to somebody else's kids compared to your own?
I hate to say it, but at some point it's a little easier because your kids, they don't want to listen to you.
So true.
I mean, yeah, you know.
So
they,
true.
You know, you're that.
You just have to have somebody that want to listen.
Exactly. You're that father figure. You're that because I said so guy. You're that guy that's got the remote control. You got the PlayStation. You got everything that you can repossess at the snap of a finger. You know what I mean? So, and then, you know, they just don't listen to us. I mean, they should, you know, they do, they will later on in life, but, you know, at those teenage ages, they don't. But then you got the other kids outside the house that may not even have a father.
There you go, exactly.
And you know what I'm saying? And
they're hungry for it.
They're hungry for it, you know, and they don't have all of maybe what your kids have.
It's easier to reach them. Yeah.
It's easy to reach them, and it's a sad thing, but a lot of times that is the truth.
Yeah.
I don't think that I am, and again, I guess that's perception. Or if you ask my kids, they might say something different. But I don't think I am because I don't discipline other people's kids like I discipline mine, and the discipline is not abuse. It's just that it's discipline. And I think it's fortifying and it's showing up certain characteristics in them that make them better, which I'm not doing with other folks' kids. So I think and agree, I would say, no, I'm not. And because of that, and I'll give you a quick example. Some years ago, in helping with some of the young men around my church years ago, I think the young man might have been probably 12 at the time. And, you know, I work with a lot of the young guys. And in front of his dad, he said, I wish you were my father.
Wow.
And, but I quickly turned around to break the uncomfortable feeling that I know his dad was having and I was having. I looked over at Davon and I to my son and I said, you think that now. But you ain't back home with me. And my son just kind of like looked and laughed or whatever. So you can see there's a difference because I'm not disciplining him. So So we're sitting around, you know, we're talking, we're able to open up and all this stuff. But now there's a different environment if you're back in my house and you're not following and abiding by my rules. There's a different type of, hey, okay, well, let me send you over here to your parents. No, this, let's deal with this. So I think there could be a perception issue. You say, yeah, well, I'm better. You're better with someone else's kids being a better father to them. But I think in the long run, I'm definitely not, because I'm disciplining my children to make them better.
The words. And I want to ask this. It's a three-part question, but who is your number one priority? Is it the kids or your wife? That's the first part. Who is your number one priority, the kids or your wife?
My number one priority is my wife.
Yeah, my wife.
100%.
And should your wife be your number one priority?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can your priorities ever change?
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, people take precedence depending on the situation. I mean, obviously, there's situations where you got to do things for your kids that, you know, that take priority. But your number one, you know, your number one has got to be your wife.
Yeah.
Now, an interesting question, something we come into, especially when we get into step-parenting situations, is we'll hear women say, oh, no, you know, I had this child before I met you, and they're my number one priority.
I think even a better question is,
that's a problem.
Yes, I agree with that. Another question, or a better question, would be, are they always your priority, as opposed to are they your priority? Because I think if that question is posed that way, I think we find times where they are not the number one priority, whether
right.
it's work, whether it's kids, or whether it's whatever. It might be the fellas, and I'm not saying that's a good thing by any stretch of the imagination, but it happens.
Yeah, but I think we need to recognize that this isn't BCS standards or the AP poll either. No, from week off. No, I mean, honestly, it's my wife, hands down. And I think in time, and as we continue to grow and the kids get older, whatever, it will still remain my wife.
Good words. Because I mean, that in essence, I mean, that could lead to conflict. You know,
yeah, well, it's not a competition, and it's definitely not one of those things where they'll ever go without or feel like they are less than. But it is definitely going to be a priority. I mean, there's situations now where, like I said, a little girl's 16 months old, all these times, you know, she's starting to come into her own with a little personality, whatever, and I have to straight out tell her, look, this is my wife.
Absolutely.
She is, we are together. You know, now whether she grasped that or not, I don't know. But she'll definitely get used to those words coming out of my mouth and me saying that. Because a wife is my priority, first and foremost. Because, again, I said this before, you know, I missed the times when it was just us.
Say that, brother. Say that.
I'm saying that I don't love my daughter. I love her more than life itself. But the fact is that I missed those times. You know what I'm saying? And the priority is there. And I tell my wife that all the time. Look, hey, if it comes down to, you know, she's crying because she's a little hungry and I need to spend some time with you and focus on what you're saying, she can cry. She'll be all right.
That's funny you say that, brother, because just today, just this morning, I got a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, and everybody's at home today. I actually, you know, took a vacation day just to hang out with the fam. So, you know, I expect to sleep in with the wife. So my 7-year-old, you know, she's fine. You know, I ain't even got to really feed her until, you know, about an hour or two after she's woken up or whatever. But the 3-year-old, you know, she gets up and then she's milling around downstairs. I feed her because she's hungry, you know, as soon as she gets up. She's ready to eat. So I give her some cereal or something or a waffle, you know, and then I go back to bed. And so this morning, she's like, I don't want my mommy. Then she, you know, she crawls in the bed, and she's laying in between us. And I'm like, it's the time, you know, you got the cartoons downstairs, y'all got toys, your sister. You need to go handle that, because I'm just, you know, and I wasn't trying to, you know, get loose or nothing like that. It was just, you know, that quality time, that QT time. And I was like, I'm trying to have some time with mommy this morning. You know, we trying to sleep in together, so. But I had to bribe her. I had to feed her again. I said, you know, I had to give her, like, something to eat again so she would go back downstairs. But, I mean, yeah, you're right, brother. You know, it's sometimes, you know, they can get in the way. But, you know, and they might start some, could lead to potential conflict. And that's what I want to ask, you know, when it comes to conflict, do you think it's conflict in our relationships because it's an adult-to-adult relationship, husband-wife relationship, versus an adult-child relationship? Do you think the dynamics of those relationships, you know, make it, you know, just breed more conflict, I guess? You got the adult-to-the-adult versus the adult versus the child. You know, it's different expectations.
Yeah, I think so. You know, one of the biggest things we're trying to teach our children is the difference between an adult and a child. And sometimes they try to see me or their mom as a child. You know, we have to correct that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, something we, you know, we're both united on. And I always hold the veto vote.
Good words, good words.
Everybody know that.
Good words. But when it comes to resolving conflict, I mean, do y'all think that the fact that our children have our bloodline and our wives do not, does that have any, you know, bearing on, you know, this is my child, you know, you and the wife are related by marriage, but y'all ain't related. You know what I'm saying? Does that dynamic come into, you know, when resolving conflict, does that make it easier?
Conflict with what, the child or with the family or with the wife?
Just any conflict, you know, as far as relationship. Disagreements, I guess, is a better word. You know, because when you have a, you know, that's your child. You know, it's like, yeah, you part of me. You know what I'm saying? Whereas the wife, she, you know, y'all kind of got together.
Well, see, I would say that in that situation with regards to the family, meaning wife and children, whether stepchildren or otherwise, I really wouldn't see it that way. I don't think there's a conflict. Where the conflict comes in is with family dynamics. When it goes a step further and it becomes the type of situation where you're supposed to be loving a sister-in-law or a brother-in-law or somebody like they your family. Now, that necessarily flies sometimes because, look, I married you. I know in all theory I married the family, but not really. Not really. And I don't have a problem saying something to your sister, your brother, and might be your father, your mother. The stuff's not riding right.
Right.
I think that's where the conflict comes in. Not so much with the kid. I mean, with a child and the things that go on. I don't know. Maybe somebody else will say something different, but I see it more with, like, extended family than with our children.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to get on that?
With my stepkids, you know, I don't share any blood with them, but with my 7-year-old, all I got to do is hug and kiss on the cheek, no matter how mad I'm making, all is forgiven. The 11-year-old girl, she just needs the nurturing. She's real emotionally damaged. And the 17-year-old boy, I just tell him to deal with it. That's just life. You know, take it or leave it. You know, he's good to go. So, you know, they be mad, but they get over it, you know.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, what I was thinking because, I mean, do y'all think that it's easier to apologize to our children, you know, than our wives? It's easier to apologize to our children than our wives. The brothers just say, you know, he just kiss her and, you know, all is forgiven. But is it easier to apologize to our children than our wives?
Yeah.
Why is that, bro?
Really? Everybody knows, man. Come on, man. Women don't let it go. Man, they throw that stuff up from years. They remember stuff. You, man, please. You be thinking they got you confused with somebody else. No, that wasn't me. No, it was somebody else. You know you did it?
Shaggy, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me? That couldn't have been me. I'd never do anything that, you know, that stupid. Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Good word. Anybody else? It's easier to apologize to our children than our wives.
Well, you know my MO. I'm just going to adjust. I'm not going to say too. Apologies, man.
Good words.
Down to that level and say, I hear what you're saying and keep it moving.
Absolutely. Apology don't get you nowhere with them, man.
Yeah, it's not going to do anything. I'm going to lead by example.
Keep it moving, huh?
Well, like I tell my wife, you already said I do, so it's too late now. Rap.
Oh, man. And on that note, fellas, on that note, is it because our children have lower standards than our wives?
No, I mean, you love a kid. Any kid, whether you know they're your kid or not, they know if you love them and if you're doing it out of love. I mean, kids are excellent monitors at that. They can tell when someone has, you know, genuine love in their heart. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that just makes it all easier as far as relating to them.
Anybody else think the kids have lower standards than the wife?
I wouldn't say it's lower standards, but I think that they have a better grasp on the unconditional love than our wives do at first. I think that's something that our wives have to learn or figure out somewhere down the line.
Wow.
And I think a lot of it, too, also, is that kids are able to sift through, whether we believe it or not, even though they're very emotional at times, they can sift through emotions a lot faster and just get to the bottom line.
Yeah.
With wives sometimes, man, you got layers of emotions before you can then just say, look, just focus in on where my heart was with this. No, and it just sometimes, man, it'll take a day, week, shit get ugly.
Good words, I feel you on that. But let me ask this question. Is it because she's just jealous and insecure because you're a better father than she is a mother, or that you're a better husband than she is a wife? Maybe she's just jealous. You know, you're doing your thing.
You know, I know my, now I'm just speaking on my wife. She is very, very conscious of what people may think, perceived outward opinion of what people think of her as a mother and as a wife. She is very conscious of that. So she is often ruled by her perception of what other people are thinking, even though she don't even know, have a clue what they're thinking. I mean, it is like a big deal to her. I don't know how everybody else's wife is, but mine is like, I can't leave them here. If I leave them at a date at a babysitter and I'm going to pick them up at 6, I'm going to be there at 5:45 to show them a good mother. It's to that level.
Yep.
Good word. I don't know if anybody want to jump in on there or agree or disagree. Maybe she's just jealous or insecure. You the better father, better husband than she is a mother or wife.
Well, see, I think part of it, too, is the fact that, you know, they're constantly in battle with themselves in some aspects. And a lot of times, whether it becomes, it inadvertently becomes between us as a spouse, whether it's meant to be that way or not, because they're evolving. I mean, they're starting to realize things as well. Because, again, as we just heard from the clip, as we've talked about before, a lot of these women, and as we said in this conversation, the women are being taught to be good parents, but not necessarily how to be a good spouse. So when this stuff all factors in to being married, and when you're married, you got all the different hats that you're wearing, it's ongoing for them in some aspects. I mean, I really think that they're always figuring it out. And they're listening to grandma, they're listening to aunts, they're listening to their mother, they're listening to their sister who may be older or maybe younger, that may be doing better than they are. They're reading every magazine and book that's out there. I mean, it's just constantly like this mind warp that's going on with regards to their development. And just what they, and I think a lot of times it is something where it inadvertently ends up being kind of like them versus us and blah, 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 and who's doing better. But I think ultimately through us bringing back the logic to the conversation, again, being able to help them sift through the emotions and just say, look, we're in this together. It's not a competition.
Yeah.
True that. And I think a lot of them are just going off sheer memory.
You're right.
Yeah.
Of what they saw.
But they saw it, I would agree.
Yeah, through their generations. And most of them, you know, and if the And if the family wasn't strong, then they got a warped perception of how it's supposed to be, and that's probably what is causing a lot of the problems now.
I would agree with that, because I can't tell you how many times I've talked to my wife, and I just say something and say, well, where did you get, what are your thoughts on this, or what would you like to see happen, or where did you perceive that this was right? Well, I thought that's what my parents did. I think that's what I saw them do. I'm just like, you think that's what you saw them do, or did they do that? Well, you know, well, yeah. And it's just, okay, wow. Well, who talked with you about stuff? I had conversations with my sister, you know, and sometimes with my parents. And it's just, it's crazy because it's like, who is, again, I said it many, many, many months ago, there needs to be an internship. I'm not talking about babysitting and being a nanny. That's different. I'm talking about an internship for being a wife, where these young girls or women go and they are following with, instead of white swap, it don't need to be white swap, it needs to be white plus one. That should be the name of the show, where these women get a chance to actually be with women who are in the thick of it. Understand what goes into it, because they don't have a clue. They're doing exactly what you just said. They are pulling from memory, and they're pulling from what they've seen on TV or read in some novel or seen on some movie. Who knows? And it's like, because again, you know, I know I'm getting off topic a little bit, and this is the last thing I'm going to say with this.
You make some good points.
But being a man, it doesn't matter if it's your father, your coach, your minister, your mother who's divorced, your mother who is a single parent, your sister, whoever. Everyone is always instilling in you, now whether it's right or wrong, what it means to be a man and the things that you need to go about in order to get your and handle your business.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think everybody's always doing that with regards to these young girls. It's not there. So then you're like, okay, even if you fail as a husband, even if you fail as a father, if you're not doing things right, people have talked to you about what it means to be in a relationship. Now, doesn't mean you're going to follow through. Doesn't mean you're going to do it. Doesn't mean you're going to do it right. But you're going to give it a shot. Now, you might suck at it, but you're going to give it a shot. But the thing about it is, like, I don't know if these women are really getting these opportunities to really see what goes into that. Because here's the thing. What do we do whenever there's a situation? We need to have a little discussion that gets a little bit more. My voices get raised. We put the kid. We don't do it in front of the kids. We move it to the side. The kids don't understand how daddy's voice even got raised to that point, or how mommy's voice even got raised to that point, which is understandable because at different points in their age and their development, they don't need to see all that because they can't grasp it. But once they do get of age, it needs to be shown in some capacity to be like, okay, when you're in a marriage, and we're talking about communication, finances, intimacy, family matters, extended family matters, mortgages, things like this. This is how sometimes things get escalated. And this is how it sometimes plays out. But it's like, I don't necessarily know, and I honestly don't feel like sometimes women really get that. It's like we go more to the emotional side instead of really just focusing on what is the point. The point here is that we need to have this bill paid by this point, or this will not happen. This will not occur.
You all the way around the world.
And I mean, and it's like what ends up happening is a lot of times it goes to emotional. Well, you're getting too emotional. Your voice is really raised and blah, blah. Bump that. Focus in on the point.
If I had a dollar every time I asked my wife, what the hell does that have to do with the conversation? I would have more money than what the Powerball plus the mega millions is worth.
The Powerball.
All of us would. We would be that group of people that signed, you know, bought one ticket together, and all of us walked away with $100
million. Oh, man, good words. But I want to bring up something you said earlier, and it was a key word you used, competition. In some ways, are we sort of competing with our wives on some levels? It's like a competition.
Well, yeah, I think there's some healthy competition there, but you know, everybody got to be smart enough to, you know, cut that whole the effects of competition. You got to be smart at minimizing the effects, because competition is natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's natural. You know, you recognize it, you recognize the effects of it, and you minimize it. I mean, because marriage is a constant game of surrendering. You know, that's my philosophy on it.
Here's the thing. I don't mind us competing if we're going to push ourselves so that we both are better.
There you go.
I mean, if I'm pushing you and you pushing me and our family benefits, our family, and what I mean by that is, you know, the competition of saying, you know, hey, you know what, maybe you should go for that promotion. You know, you talked about what you want to do and blah, 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 this, that, and the other. Here it is. What you going to do?
Mm.
I mean, stuff like that where it's the type of situation where you're pushing someone to get better or you're encouraging them. Get your PhD. You've been talking about you want to go back to school, you want to do things. Let's figure out and sit down and map it out. Let's not worry about the next vacations for the next 5-6 years. Let's figure out how you can get this PhD while you're here and we can continue to move you forward. Because in the long run, that's going to position everybody to eat.
Mm.
So it's all right if competition is helping us. If it's going to set us up, okay, yeah. I mean, that's essentially what – I mean, you think about any – I mean, going to sports. You think about any team when they're competing and they're balling in practice, drawing, and sometimes, you know, you see in preseason they get to fighting and yanking helmets off and stuff like that. But then when they win the Super Bowl, it was worth it. Because that competition was necessary in order for them to – you don't put people in the practice squad going against you that you can beat. You never played basketball growing up. You didn't play with the little kids that you could win and beat and do all the moves on. No, you want to give that ball with the men. Now, yeah, you might get knocked down and might not be able to do everything you wanted to, but that's the way you got better. And then, and here's the crazy part about the whole balling analogy is that as a young kid, you were like, man, these old heads are giving it to me. But you know what? You were pushing them too.
Yeah.
You were pushing them because they were like, man, I can still hang with these young cats. I'm working hard. I'm sweating up a storm. But little do they know, I'm still holding my own.
Yeah, good words. And, I, getting back on topic here, what about someone that has never had or raised kids? How would they stack up? I mean, can being a father in some ways actually help you to be a better husband?
Well, I don't understand the question.
Yeah,
I ain't got no kids, so I'm trying to see what you're saying here.
As far as you've never, but you're raising kids, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is that nobody, I'm talking about a guy that is married. Does you raising kids and having kids of your own, does that give you, you know, a leg up, you know, to compare in comparison to that guy that doesn't have any kids? I mean, does having kids actually help you to be a better parent? That's what I'm asking.
Be a better parent or husband?
Be a better parent. I mean, be a better husband. Excuse me. Thank you.
Okay.
Being a better husband, does parenting help you to be a better husband?
So whether it's your kids or stepkids.
Yes.
Does children in the equation help you be a better husband?
Exactly. That's the question. Thank you for cleaning it up for me.
Well, if it's got anything to do with learning to have patience, then the answer is yes.
Yes.
Mm. If you can at some point dealing with those kids and figure out that you need patience, and then you need patience, and then you learn patience, and then you somewhat master having patience with those kids, because you're going to need that times 100 to have, you know, worth of patience with your wife, for sure.
Yeah, you are. You can pull from the reserve on that one.
Patience, I didn't even know I had. Patience, I didn't even know I had. I called my dad one time just to say, man, I'm sorry. And, you know, because I don't know how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
I could literally wrap my hands around my 17-year-old's neck. He's so angry. You just had to walk away. Like, you know, I'm going to kill him. I just got to walk away because they're crazy. That's a good topic, though. You talk about these kids get on your nerves.
They do.
Good words. What time is it? What time is it?
10 o'clock.
T-Hawk, you there?
I'm here.
I'm about to do something that has never been done before, fellas. I'm looking at my computer screen right now. We've got 10 brothers on the line. But I'm going to give each of you the opportunity to hang up right now because the next question is the monkey wrench of all monkey wrenches. It might even be the whole toolbox. I don't know. So I'm going to give you 3 seconds to hang up right now before I ask the question. Now, don't hang up afterwards because, remember, I'm watching. Okay. Are we ready? Does the fact that you still struggle with a slight addiction to pornography preventing you from being a better father or a better husband?
Say that one more time.
Yeah, I don't think they heard me. Does the fact that you still struggle with a slight addiction to pornography preventing you from being a better father or a better husband?
Okay.
Talk to me, man.
I'm going to talk to you,
man.
All right.
Talk to me.
Since I go on and I can admit I am a purveyor of pornography, I got a little issue with this question because, number one, you ain't going to be, well, I know me personally, I ain't looking at no pornography when no kid is around. I mean, are you talking about being a good parent? How? Like you're so consumed with pornography, you know, you're not making sure your kid eats or clothes or it's taken away from your kid's well-being? Is that what you're saying?
That could be it.
Well, no, pornography, my dealing with pornography ain't nearly to that level. It don't.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's like smoking weed or gambling. You know,
right. It's not taken away from my family.
You know, if that's what you do, then that's your own little private time, whatever. You know what I mean? It doesn't have much to do. I mean, that's what you call an individual struggle. That's one of between you and God. That's it. Unless your wife is wrapped up in it too, which definitely we know that can happen too. But I don't think that hits the kids unless you're irresponsible with it.
So y'all don't think it has any effect on being a husband either?
Yeah, I mean, we went down that road. It can.
It can.
Yeah, it can.
It definitely can. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, it can, just like any other, you know, sin that's out there. I mean, you could be in a cat that comes home and get yourself a cocktail and calm down every day after work. But until it gets out of control, you know, then, I mean, it can go that route. Same thing with smoking cigarettes. I mean, anything. I mean, it can if it gets out of control, but, I mean, as long as you have some type of grip on it, then you actually are probably not, it's not impacting your marriage or your kids in any capacity.
Well, yeah, pornography begins to shape. Go ahead.
Well, I was getting ready to say, I don't think that, you know, the average person that has a true addiction to porn is going to be like, okay, son, I can't help you with your homework because I've been here watching a video.
Right, exactly. Right. I mean, the whole term addiction to porn, I mean, addiction to porn, that's a strong
it does that.
Term.
Addiction will do that.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't
as funny as
addiction.
It sounds, it'll do that.
Yeah.
You can't help your kid with homework because you got it.
You gotta go watch this little Nash movie. Come on, man.
Just like you said, addiction. Now that's just like crack or alcohol or anything else, and that'll pull you away. It'll pull you away from a lot of things.
Yeah,
so I don't believe I have an addiction. So
the word.
Let me step back from that one.
But it will shape in terms of a spousal relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
It does begin to shape your mind in a way that's not reality in some cases.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's not reality for your house and your bedroom. So, but you start getting that shaped into your mind. Yes, it does. Sooner or later, it will play effect in how you and your wife interact.
You on a slippery slope, brother.
Maybe you got dreams.
You on a slippery slope.
Yeah, thank y'all for hanging through the, because you've now entered the adult hour.
Duration.
I was just playing with y'all the first hour, but we're going to move it along. I want y'all to listen to this clip. Thank y'all for hanging in there with me, but we got 2 more hours to go if you can stand it. But listen to this.
.com. I mean, for me personally,
like I said, I was raised by a single mom, but my dad was, you know, around. But, you know, I saw my dad, you know, just like anyone else, do dirt. You know, he was married or what have you, but he still had extramarital affairs. So my uncles and all my cousins who were married, they did that. Now, me growing up, you know, I didn't want that. So now I have a son, and, you know, as the head of the household, I don't want my son to see what I went through, you know, to see what I saw and think, okay, well, that's okay, you know. But I saw exactly what it did to my mom and how it affected her and her relationship to our men. So I won't let my son nor my daughter see that and go through that. And to me, that's what the head of household should do.
Does the fact that you're not like your father make you a good husband or a good father?
Go ahead,
brother.
For me, yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to answer the question and say for me, yes. I'm, you know, there's just certain things that I saw him do that I wouldn't do. Certain ways that he rolled, I refused to roll. You know what I mean? And in my first marriage, I adopted a lot of those bad habits, and I had to wean myself away from them, you know. And then there's still some ways that he has that he is right now. I feel as though he is not the head of his household. Mm-hmm. And it bothers me, but, you know, that's his struggle. And I've voiced it to him, you know, but he's happy not being the head of his household, you know. And it's just, I have to be the head of mine, because if I don't, there's chaos all over the place, you know, like he's got. So, no.
Good word.
My answer's no.
And stay right there, because we're going to keep it on that same topic. But I want to, you say you voiced it to him. I want y'all to listen to this real quick.
Have a toast for the douchebags. Have a toast for the assholes. Have a toast for the scumbags. Every one of them that I know. Have a toast for the shirts off. Gotta never take work off. Maybe I got a plan. Run away fast as you can.
Pardon the language, but unfortunately, some guys feel that way about their dad. But tell me about your dad. I mean, was he a good parent, a good husband, both, or neither?
Well, my dad, I'm blessed to have a dad that was an excellent, you know, parent and husband. So
he was
mine was a good provider.
Yeah, he set the bar for me.
Go ahead, brother, good provider.
My dad was a good provider. And that was about it. He was there, though. I mean, you know, I'm not taking everything away, but there was moments, there's a lot of things that I think fathers and sons should do that I didn't do, that I had to go out and find out on my own. I had to go and hang out with other people's fathers and stuff in the neighborhood to get it, you know. So, but he did pay the bills. He kept the lights on, and he kept food on the table, so I'll give him that much.
But does simply paying the bills make you a good husband and father?
Just a provider.
Just a provider, okay.
That's it. Some women will call it a donor. Well, a donor, that's wrong, because sometimes a donor is not even a provider. But.
Worse for worse. Anybody else? Your dad, was he a good parent, good husband, both, or neither? Going once, going twice.
You know, my dad was being still alive, just an all-around great husband, father, and teacher, just to keep it simple.
That's what's up. But earlier in the show, somebody mentioned role models. And other than your dad, who do you or who did you admire when it comes to being a good father? Other than your dad.
James
Evans. Speak on it, brother. Why James?
Yeah, me and my wife talked about James Evans. We said she was telling me, she said, I really love you, you're really a strong man, you know, you really know, your ability to make a decision. I said, yeah, I know Hollywood wants you to believe that all the James Evans are gone, but we still out there, you know. And, you know, just James Evans on Good Times. I mean, you know, he said what he meant. His word was final whenever he did have to make a decision or was forced to make a decision. He was a protector and provider. And, you know, he did the best he could for his family, you know, and Hollywood has gotten away from that. You know, and James Evans didn't do any cheating or anything like that, you know. So, you know, that's, you know, it's just the example, you know, we joke about in our house.
Good words. Good word. Anybody else other than your dad who do you or who did you admire when it comes to being a good father?
For me, it was probably my grandfather just because the way he treated my mother, you know. He was always there for us. You know, even like if my dad couldn't make a basketball game, you know, he was there. And due to the fact that my grandfather never had a son, he looked at me as my son, as his son too, and not his grandson. So
that's what's up. Good words. What about this? Other than your dad, who do you or who did you admire when it comes to being a good husband? Other than your dad. Who do you or who did you admire when it comes to being a good husband?
I got a couple of my friends' fathers that I can definitely speak to with regards to that, with being a good husband. And I mean, that would be Mr. Miller, Mr. Pinnell, Mr. Cox, because they were just there, you know, and it seemed like I said earlier in the call, their priority was their wife, you know. I mean, just being there and listening and doing things and, you know, making meals and getting stuff done and just listening. You know, I think that's the biggest part. You know, there were times I can remember, particularly with my good friend, Mr. Pinnell, his dad, Mr. Pinnell. You know, I remember, you know, we would come, we'd be over there, we'd be doing something, come in, and he would be like, Dad, and I'd be like, yeah, Mr. Pinnell, blah, blah, and he'd be like, fellas, I'm talking to my wife. Shut it down, you know. But it's stuff like that I can think about. And you know, coming from a single parent home, we didn't have a lot of time to go on trips and do stuff like that. But the Pinnells always took me with them, you know, and I really appreciated that. But that afforded me also the opportunity to see how, you know, he handled business on trips and on the road and at other places and stuff, from everything from bags to tipping people to, I mean, just everything. And it was all these things that really just allowed me. And the same thing with Mr. Miller and Mr. Cox. I mean, they just really focused in on the needs of their wives. And through that, it seemed like, you know, that little jingle where people say, happy wife, happy life.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, men lived that. And they still do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like their wives are so happy and so in love with those men that in essence made a wonderful home and environment for the kids and the friends of kids, which would have been me in this situation, you know. And it's like, wow, that's the stuff that, you know, definitely lend itself to be role models for me about being a good husband and who that was. Because I didn't have that with my dad. I mean, I didn't do much with my dad, you know.
I don't know about you guys, but when I was in that impressionable age, I think what Peyton was just talking about, I was looking at the single dude, because I didn't want no parts of marriage. I was like, man, how's that single dude doing it, getting all these women, you know, being the man? So I didn't really, you know, have any husband-type person to look up to, because, you know, being a teenager, we were running for marriage. We were trying to avoid marriage. I was always to believe that that was a woman's thing, you know, to get married, and we were trying to prolong it as long as possible.
Good words. Anybody else have any role models for being a good husband other than your dad?
Yeah, I would say my grandfather was a good role model too. My dad was an excellent father, not a great husband. Had a couple shots at it and didn't get it right. But, you know, when I was growing up, a lot of the things that my grandfather and, like the other brother said, a couple friends of mine who, whose fathers were, good husbands did. You know, those things were like corny, you know, bringing flowers and doing all this stuff. But it's the same type of stuff that I end up doing now today. So even though you're not really looking at it in that way, it really does have an effect on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're paying attention.
Yeah, even when you don't even know it.
Yep.
Good words, yeah. Good words. I'm going to keep this train moving, fellas. It's 10:15. Listen to this clip real quick. It's only about a minute and a half.
And, you know, the
wait a minute, is he in ballet? Is that what you're saying?
Wait, no, I'm talking about you got girls, kids that are in ballet.
I'm just messing.
Yeah. So, and, you know, and he's missing these family things, these special moments that you can never get back. But he's the head of household. He's bringing that money in. You know, I mean, can we put that in the same category?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Tony, because it's all about quality of life. And, you know, if you, you know, say you have a job where you work those 60-hour weeks, but you do miss all the events, you know, what's more important? Is the money more important or the time where, you know, your daughter's, you know, hoping that you'll get off of work or be available to attend her ballet recital? I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, you have to sort of, you know, weigh that out. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we struggle with that, you know, trying to, you know, chase the dollar and make sure the bank account's full and the bills are paid and the college funds are, you know, started and saving for that and, you know, other things. But, you know, we miss out on the little things, you know, that first bike ride, you know, whatever. So I think it goes back to, you know, what, in the grand scheme of things, what's more important, stacking the bank account or, you know, those little things that, you know, you cannot, I mean, once you miss them, I mean, they're gone. You know, you're not going to see that first time, you know, your son or daughter can ride a bike. I mean,
yeah, I think
the key word there is balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the guy that's there for every minute probably isn't covering his financial responsibilities.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the key word is balance. If you're always at work instead of being there, there's a problem. If you're always there instead of taking care of your financial responsibilities, there's going to be a problem. If you're always up in church instead of ministering to your family, you've got things twisted because your first ministry is your family. So I think the key word there is balance.
Balance. Is the fact that you're a workaholic inhibiting your ability to be a good husband or a good father? Where my workaholics at?
The answer is yes.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. My workaholic's probably still working right now.
Yeah, I ain't no workaholic.
I don't have no workaholics on the line?
I got a lot of work to do, you know, but I'm definitely not a workaholic. I appear to be a workaholic because I got a lot of work to do, but it's not because I'm a workaholic.
Okay.
Workaholic.
That's the reason why you have things to do, right, brother?
Right.
Define workaholic. Because, you know, as a workaholic, you know, you're always away from home and spend no time with your kids or your spouse, or as a workaholic, a way to show your kids, you know, if you want to have things in life, you know, you're going to have to work hard for it.
See, I don't think either one of those.
Use the definition.
I think a workaholic is trying to provide your family the best, so you just work constantly, always trying to increase your salary so you can provide for them the best. I ain't a workaholic.
I think a workaholic is somebody that says work is more important than his family.
Yeah, basically.
That's a bold statement, but it is what it is.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to the concept of whether or not you are present in the moment. I mean, if it's their birthday and you checking text messages on your BlackBerry while everybody's singing happy birthday.
Preach.
Mails on your phone or.
Preach.
Somebody's downstairs getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner and you upstairs checking email just to make sure that the last merger went through or whatever it may be. I mean, that's a bit much. Would be that workaholic. You need to be present in the moment and recognize, as was stated in the clip, that balance. I mean, now, if you got to grind for 6 months to get something done so you can make that money for something that you need to do that's going to benefit the family, okay. But that needs to be a family decision that's made with regards to what you're doing, but that can't be the pace that you set for the total time that you are in a marriage or being a parent. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because you talk about being present in the moment, but, you know, are you not considered a good husband because you're overcommitted? You know, and what I mean by that is between what you got to do at work, at church, the kids' activities, your workout time, your golf game, making sure that your car is sparkling, you know, all of that has seemed to have gotten in the way of the one who you committed to first. I mean, listen, fellas, listen, listen. I mean, what happened to that, homeboy? You know, all that I want is you. And I was at some of y'all's weddings.
Well, I mean, you know, and I hear what you're saying, man, but some of that stuff you just ain't going to be able to do. I mean, you know, that's stuff you could do when you were single. When I was single, yeah, I could do all that, keep cars shining and handle this, go to the game, whatever, go to this. But, you know, man, when you got a family, you can't, you know, you got to cut some things off your list because let me tell you something, with kids, you got to put that private time in with each of these kids. You got to talk to them. You got to let these kids know that nothing else matters, and you got to spend that one-on-one time with them. And if you don't make time for that, hell, man, by the time you get done washing cars and going to work and hanging with the boys and working out and cutting the grass, messing around, everybody done moved out the house and going on about their business. And you done missed it. You done missed it. Then you too old to do something, and then wonder why nobody want to come see you. And you're like, well, what happened?
Or it's what you said, what we talked about earlier in the conversation. They're getting that attention from some other man that
absolutely
is willing to give it to them.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I would rather ride around with a dirty car and go down in the basement and play Wii with my daughter or talk to my 11-year-old, play Wii with my 7-year-old, and wash my car. That's just not, you know, ain't no comparison.
Good words. Or get your workout on. And, you know, let me ask y'all this. Speaking of your workout time, are you not considered a good husband because you don't even look good anymore? You basically just let yourself go.
I don't allow anyone in my house to speak about my physical appearance and how it has declined.
And, bro, it was funny that you said that.
That would lead to immediate imprisonment in my house. So, you'll be on the king's bad, on the wanted list, you. Make reference to my girth. I'm working on it. I'm going to leave it at that. Quit looking at old pictures, talking about, you know, it's all good. Trey Song's body is gone. It ain't happening.
And I live on your street, so I'm already on your street. I'm already
on
your street.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you know, yeah. My 11-year-old, like, he had a body like Trey Song. I ain't Trey Songs no more.
Call
me Larry Hooper. You know, right?
Big Meech.
Yeah, I'm Big Meech, man. Blowing money fast on y'all.
Oh, good word. Anybody else?
I like how the brother said girth. That's a good politically correct way
absolutely
to say it.
Yeah.
Back
yeah
in the day, that shows wealth.
Hey, but, you know, I think, too, to take it to another level, I think that the real detriment to the family is probably more with health and not necessarily
absolutely
physical appearance. Because
yeah,
if
yeah
your wife's okay with it, then it's all good. But you know, who's going to have to take care of you when you know those bad habits catch up to you? Your wife,
absolutely,
kids, and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've cut sodas in our house. You know, it's trying to that whole health thing is definitely major.
Good words, yeah, good words. Anybody else want to talk about your girth? Oh,
yeah, I mean, yeah. Whenever you put out there something good about a particular aspect, like being a father, being a husband, or something like that, then you got to take on all aspects of that role. So yeah, health would have to be absolutely makes or break whether or not. I mean, you're gonna have to take on all aspects. So that's financial, spiritual, emotional. You know, your health. You got to be that forerunner. Period.
Yeah,
I think it's risk reward type thing because I mean you got to stay in shape, man, because you
yeah
don't want your wife to be attracted to you. You know, you don't want certain things to happen the way it's always happened, but when they slow down, because your wife, she might not come and tell you,
or you put on 50 pounds, or you put on, you don't look the same. She might not tell you that because, you know, they're really not supposed to say it that way. You know, they'll hint to you. But a lot of times we're just too busy, we're workaholics, whatever the case may be. But you have got to find time to get out there and go work out and stay in shape. You know, so just so we can, and again, it's on both sides because they have to do the same thing. But I think that we still have to do our due diligence to remain sexy to our
Absolutely.
Lives.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yeah, good words. And to, you know, to hear your old lady tell it, are you not a good husband because you've forgotten what the words romance and foreplay mean? You know, now we talked about getting back to the basics of love and romance just a couple of months ago, but
okay.
Have you forgotten? You know, go ahead, brother.
Well, who in here with kids? Okay, hold on, man. There is romance. There's planned romance, and then there's spur of the moment romance. All right. Planned romance, I think everybody on the phone, they can handle that, no problem.
Yeah.
Spur of the moment romance with kids? Please. Come on, man. I mean, you can't do it like you know, like kids ain't here, man. I mean, that's kind of hard. I mean, you can try.
You know what, man? Thank you for saying that, man. Because sometimes I don't want no romance.
It is.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
sometimes some nights it's not a romance night. It's not, man. I mean, I understand that you got to have a romance. I'm not knocking that, but some nights it's not a. It's a walk up behind you, and whatever the case may be, it is what it is. But we need to get a pass at some point.
Right with you.
Without the romance.
Yeah,
at some point. And
well,
even if it's once a month.
It's
I
got
you,
I mean,
brother.
Even
I think it's give and take.
Yeah. There's a lot of taking going on, though.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, you know, this. I can't really get too loose on this conversation right here because my family are right across the street. So, my wife. So.
No, you're good.
But,
good.
But, you know, man, I mean, you know, kids, man, kids have sex radar.
Yeah. I ain't never heard that before.
Oh, man, please, man. As soon as you try to get something started, man, first thing come out of their mouth is mommy.
Yeah.
And if your wife is a priority, they can wait.
Yeah.
They'll be locked.
Yeah.
Turn the TV up and lock the door.
Yeah. Good words. But, fellas, are you not considered a good father or a good husband because it seems to be such a hassle for you to take your family or your wife on a nice vacation every now and then?
Oh, well, no. I tell them right up, straight up, unless they go somewhere I want to go, like Busch Gardens, they ain't going. No, because I had to explain it to them. I want reward also. You know what I'm saying? Because everywhere they want to go, I can't fit on the ride.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? So I know Busch Garden, I can fit on all the rides. So I'm like, look, we either going to Busch Gardens or we ain't going nowhere. I'm not packing all y'all up, paying for all y'all to get these hotel rooms, and then I got to stand there and watch y'all ride everything. That ain't happening.
Yeah, because of your girth. Because of your girth.
Yeah. So, you know, of course, my 11-year-old, you know, you got a 11-year-old girl. She evil. So she, well, I don't want to go to Busch Gardens. All right, well, fine. That's why we ain't going nowhere this summer. Because of her. Everybody blamed her. Because of her. I said, all right, cool.
I blamed the 11-year-old.
Yeah. So we're going to sit here. We're going to chill on this driveway right here all summer. And that's what we did.
I'm with you, brother.
Good words. Anybody else? Vacation? You ain't got time for the nice vacation? For the wife? For the family?
Well, for vacation is normally not about the time. It's usually about the money.
Yeah, that's what, Rodney, that's what I wanted to get to next, bro.
Okay,
that's what I wanted to get to next. You're right on it. You're right on it, fella.
Just an ass.
Are you not considered a good husband because you recently got laid off or you're not making the same money you used to make, you know, due to the economy? And this is what I'm talking about, fellas. You know, y'all had to cut back on some of her spending, like getting her...
Now that's here, that's everything, dear.
Oh, you fancy?
Yeah, since she can't get a little fancy, she's become a little fussy. Anybody dealing with that? Your money a little shorter with the economy? She's like, hey, you ain't no good husband anymore. I'm on somebody's street. Somebody.
Oh, you ain't on mine.
You ain't on mine either. I think that particular person got married for the wrong reason from the jump anyway.
They did. Don't start nothing you can't keep up.
Exactly. There you go. My wife works, so she already knows she ain't going to be married to me. She ain't working, so she handle all that on her own.
Yeah. You want your nails done? Go ahead and get it. I'll be you when you get back.
Do it like you were doing for
right.
Femme.
Right. Me and that brother live on the same street. So I'm on the street. You know,
she don't pay me for haircuts. She don't pay me for my haircuts.
I don't know what part of town you was on, Rodney, but I live next to that
brother. I live in the wrong turn or something, you know. Yeah, good.
Man, I wish she would come downstairs and tell me she need to get her nails done. Go get them done. Ain't got
good
nothing
words.
To do with me.
Good words. Good words. All right, boy, let me, you know, since y'all good on that front, it's 10:30, let me keep it moving. Are you not considered a good father or a good husband because you're too busy hanging out with your boys all the time?
Oh, man.
And in this day and age, some guys are doing a little more than just hanging out. Some are sword fighting. You know, I know it ain't no brothers on this call, but, you know, literally, are you not considered a good father? Are you just too busy hanging out with your boys all the time?
Man, look, man, I don't care how much you compromise, pre-plan, pre-negotiate, pre-apply for kitchen passes. If you having too good of a time, she going to be angry.
Wow.
Yeah, she can pick up on it. Like, if you having too good, like something, like me and my boys, we just went to Bob Evans. Bob Evans.
Yeah, wow.
Me and my boys went to Bob Evans at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Right here in Waldorf. And you would have thought we went to a dadgum strip club. She come in, you never take me to Bob Evans. I said, because you hate Bob Evans. Because you hate Bob Evans. The service sucks and the food ain't that great. But still, you take me, you go with Bob Evans with them, but you don't go with me. And it's like, really? Come on. You known about this for like a month. And now that it finally went down, you throwing shade. Come on.
You ain't bringing nothing home?
Right. Bring, nothing on.
Bring a biscuit or something.
she wouldn't have been happy with it anyway. Really?
Nah. If she's going to be mad, give her a reason to be mad.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you all a reason. I'm going to give you a reason. Listen to this, fellas.
Who's?
Blame it on the blues. Got you feeling loose. Blame it on the drugs.
Are you not considered a good father or a good husband because you're still occasionally getting drunk? Or better yet, still occasionally getting high?
Well, I stopped drinking 5 weeks ago, so I'm straight.
You know?
If she's not included, then the answer is no. That's a good word, included. Included. If you leaving her out, that's a problem.
You boys are wild. Go ahead.
Because that goes back to what you just posed a little while ago, especially if you're having a good time and she's not there, and you come back and you're a little tipsy.
That's a wrap.
It's
a wrap.
You're going to be having a great time when I'm not there. You seem to be, well, I mean, come on, man. We just out with some people having a good time, and you got to go through all that. So, yeah, if you out having some goose and that Patron, and you come back and you in a good spot, man, it's a wrap.
I'm not sure I'd even want to know how that would go down if I came in even a little tipsy. Good words, fellas, good words.
I just stay downstairs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's one of those things that, you know, usually when I have that, if I'm out and whatever,
going to get touchy-feely. That's usually where it's going to go, you know, because I'm back home. I'm married, you know. I'm coming home to my wife. And then have you been out drinking? Have you? All right, you know what? I'm just going to stay downstairs. Board all this off that. And not even worry about it and then stay down there. And then that doesn't give me, because then it's, you came in and you didn't, you didn't let me know you got back. It's 8 o'clock.
Do you know what happened to me? Check this out. I'm so glad you said something. Check this out. Last week I was on travel. Went out with my friends. I was the designated driver. Ain't drank nothing. Called my wife while I was there. She said, well, I'm getting ready to go to bed. I said, okay, fine. About a couple of hours later, I get to my hotel room. My phone rings. She ripping me a new one. How come you ain't called me, tell me you was home safe? I said, because you told me you was gone to bed.
Right? Yeah.
I didn't know I was supposed to. I'm not even in the same state, and I'm supposed to call you, let you know I made it back to my room? Seriously?
Lie to Dale.
They a trip.
Lie to Dale.
They a trip.
Yeah, and if you had called and woke her up, you still would have got ripped a new one.
Yeah, you called me to wake me up to tell me you home. I'm glad you're home.
Didn't I tell you I was asleep?
Good words.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah. Does the fact that you don't consult with your wife enough when big decisions have to be made preventing you from being classified as a good father or a good husband? The big decisions, you like, don't even consult with the wife.
I used to suffer from that. Yep.
Okay.
I got cured. She cured me.
He sounded like a sickness.
It was. Because, you know, we was engaged, but we weren't married. So, you know, some of the decisions I was making, you know, I was making moves like coming home with a new car. You know, and like, yo, you could at least talk to me about it, like say something. You know, he's just, I'm thinking you going to the store. You come home with a new car. I'm like, well, you know, I ain't got to tell you nothing. We ain't married. You ain't my wife. You know, so, yeah, I got cured from that.
I think I do have a blessed situation in terms of that, because I could ask my wife, but all she's going to do is whatever you think is best. She's in the process right now of she's looking for a new job after being on her job for 15 years. And she just came home from the interview, and she was just all, you know, pumped up and excited, sounding like my oldest on her first interview. And she says, well, what do you think I should do? She had me sit down the night before, write up questions and everything, and how much should I ask? She don't want to make a move really without me putting either a seal on it or making a decision for her on anything. And that's, you know, good or bad, people can take it how it works. It works for my household.
Well, I think mine asked me just to disagree with me. She'll ask me, what do you think about that? And then I tell her, and she's like, really? You know, well, I thought this. And I'd be like, why did you ask me in the first place? Why did you ask me?
You have to use that reverse psychology on her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get caught using that, too. Yeah.
Good words, fellas. I'm going to keep it moving. Does the fact that you don't help around the house enough,
oh Lord,
preventing you from being classified as a good father, a good husband?
I'm the worst father, husband, ever. Helping clean up the house.
Yeah. Now, Rodney, I'm telling you right now, I'm looking out my window, and you need to stop creeping. You need to stop creeping through my neighborhood.
Brother, man, I just left. Actually, I just made a ham sandwich. I was in your kitchen, you know, and when your wife go get groceries, tell her y'all out of mustard, man.
That was a quick trip around the Beltway.
Yeah. Well, go ahead with it, Rodney. You don't help out enough around the house, bro?
I don't. I honestly don't help out with enough cleaning this stuff. And initially, as the kids got older, obviously, I was like, I tell my wife, I was like,
she'll do the dishes when, you know, so my daughter is supposed to be doing the dishes or whatever. She'll do it for her because she make up something she's got this to study for, and then she'd be over there on Facebook and other stuff, and she ain't doing nothing. And I said, stop doing the dishes. So I said, we got three grown kids, as far as I was concerned, three grown kids, and they should be vacuuming, they should be dusting, they should be doing this and doing that. And but after a while, I think it really added. Internalize it and say, look, no. You being lazy around the house. Now, you know, I'll be on the computer. I'll be doing the budget, doing the books. I might go out back and do some stuff or whatever. Or I'll send the kids out there to rake up leaves or whatever the case is. So and I'll be right here. Like Saturday morning, I'll give you another example. I hear my wife. I'm downstairs. I fell asleep downstairs, matter of fact, and then she's upstairs. I hear her getting started doing her Saturday chores that she does. She's vacuuming. She's sweeping. She's doing everything, and then she comes downstairs, and I halfway wanted to jump up like it was my dad, like it was a flashback to when I was 10 years old or whatever. And she came down, though, being who she is, she came down, she, you know, she said a joke or whatever, we laughed about it or whatever, and she kept doing what she was doing. But and I got, you know, got up and started studying or something, anything to kind of keep me busy, because the vacuuming and all that stuff, I'm not going to do. But she also knows what I am going to do in terms of taking care of the cars, or if I have to paint something, you know, outside of the house or whatever. Yeah, you know, the shutters or whatever. I'll do stuff like that. But in terms of the normal in the house, the dishes, the sweeping, I'm terrible with that. I sit around, lift my feet up, let them go up underneath me.
Yeah. And let me help you, bro. Y'all listen to this clip. 30 seconds.
You know, and a lot of times us women, we can be our own worst enemies when doing that, because then we're always complaining that no one helps us. But then when you go behind someone redoing something that they did, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like nobody ever helps. It's like, well, hell. Oh, I'm sorry. I do help, but if you're going to go behind me, watching me or telling me how to do it, you may as well do it. So yeah. A lot of times we can be our own worst enemy in regards to that.
Who was that talking? Because they right in my kitchen with me.
I got my spy. I got them out there. They out in your neighborhood looking at your window.
They right in my kitchen. That's right here with me.
Absolutely, man. Because we just talked about control and obedience last week. You know, now are you not considered a good father or a good husband because you're not doing things her way?
Yeah, exactly. I don't clean her way because my wife is a neat freak and she's meticulous. And can't nobody clean as good as she clean.
Yeah.
And I remember she told me back in, what is it, 2010? She told me back in 2008 that her 17-year-old son could clean the bathroom better than me, and that was the last time I ever cleaned the bathroom. I said, okay, what the hell with that then? Well, hell, I'm cutting grass, changing brakes, changing all that. Okay, what the hell? Fine. Well, I guess I'll never have to clean another bathroom then, because you're going to...
Your mama just signed you up.
Man, please. I'm doing pretty good.
Well, staying on the subject of control for just a moment, listen to this clip.
Or emasculated or anything like that.
Right.
But I think that everyone definitely always has their strengths.
Right.
And I really do feel like, hey, you know, if I have six strengths and you have three, be content
with on your three.
Exactly. Don't worry that I'm in charge of more things or that I'm delegated in the relationship to take care of six things and you only got three. Do the three that you have very well, and I'm going to do the six that I know how to do very well, and just let that be that, and vice versa, you know, just because it's just better, you know. It just makes for a smoother relationship. It's like, you know, I think, I mean, as couples, don't we all have our certain things that we just do because we do it well? And to me, I just think there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to, and it doesn't even matter what it is. You know, you can be a woman, and hey, if you know how to work that yard and work that lawnmower, go do it, you know? It doesn't have to be a certain gender role assigned to anything.
That's right.
If he's a great cook, let him cook.
Girl.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If he can do the dishes and keep that kitchen clean and he knows how to cook his behind off, let him do that. You know, don't assign those type of gender roles. But I think everyone should be doing in the relationship what they're best at doing. because then you really have a working, you know, fruitful
balance.
Relationship.
Yeah, balance.
Yeah.
You know what? Good word.
You know what? Every one of the women on that line.
Well, wait, I didn't even ask the question. I was going to ask, are you not considered a good father or a good husband because you're not working in the areas that you're best at, in the areas where you're strongest?
I'm glad you asked that question. I'm sorry, everybody, for taking over here, but I'm going to just tell you right now. The reason why I say they lying is because they don't know what three things you're good at. Because guess what? They don't ever ask you to do them. They always want you to do something you ain't good at. That's what they always ask. So all the women simply like high-fiving, yeah, girl, you right, whatever, please. I guarantee you, if you ask them, name what three things your man do the best, ask them. Ask them, watch what they say. Watch what they say. See how it relates.
If I'm glad you peeled bills up out of my neighborhood. Because I know it's three things I do well, and before we got married, I made it clear to her certain things that I do and I don't do. And you know, whether or not, again, if brother's on the phone, say, well, that's not compromising. That's not it. You can call it what you want. If it works for your house, then don't. If it don't work for your house, don't do it. But before I got married, you know, one of the things was being a handyman. I told her, I'm not a handyman. Don't expect me to have a tool belt. Don't expect me to have a tool chest. I don't do that. I have to hire somebody to do that stuff. I do not do that. That's not my expertise at all. I will cause more damage than I will fix anything. So I don't. And sometimes she's, you know, go ahead and, you know, do this. And other times she just try to grab it and do it herself. And then I'll let her mess it up. And then we call somebody. But
right now.
I let you know up front, look, this ain't me. So now if you go years down the road and say, you know, you don't do enough of it, just like my brother was saying, they don't know or something like that. You can't come down later down the road and say, you know, you don't do this. You don't help out in this area. No, because I set this out before this. Before we put them rings on, I set it out and say, this is what we don't do. Now, some brothers might not have done that, but maybe it's time to renew your vows.
Oh, man. Well, listen to the final portion of that clip. 5 seconds.
Yeah. I don't know, because I'm good at washing clothes, but I'd be daggone if I want to be the only one washing clothes because I'm good at it. No.
Really? Really?
Really? That's not,
hey,
that's
you
not
know
right.
What?
You know
I'm
what?
Just, I'm just glad it didn't sound like my wife. That wasn't her voice.
My wife washes clothes, and she don't want me to wash clothes because me and her wash clothes totally different. So she know I can't do it right, so she finally just accepts, you know what, I'm going to wash the clothes. But just like that young lady was saying, I'm good at it, but I don't want to do it by myself. Why? Why you don't
right.
want to do it by yourself? That's what you do good.
Right, that's what the woman said at the beginning of the clip.
Right? Exactly. See what I said? That's why I said they wouldn't tell. They wouldn't be real. They wouldn't be real.
To be good at washing clothes, I'm just saying, you know.
Brother, I know you. I know. See, me and you, we on the same page. I'm trying to tell you, my wife, she got four or five damn different containers that she uses to wash clothes. And the mix is different. She, you know, because my wife has a real high keen sense of smell. So everything got to, like, smell a certain way, or she'll just rewash it. And I know me and you thinking the same way. Look, man, just throw that stuff in the machine, throw something in there, turn it on, and be done with it. But no, it's much, much more deeper than that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real math to it, man. You mix them, you get the colors right, you put
you get your math. Well, you're washing clothes.
Bro, I wish I could take a picture of my laundry room and show you all the chemicals she got in.
You said it's a science.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the stuff, I don't even know how to use all of it. The only thing I know is detergent and dry sheet. You know, that's all I'm used to having.
Yeah,
having
that's it. You need and some bleach and some stain remover. That's all you need.
Now, here's what, let me flip the coin, because here's what a neighbor of mine did, a guy that lives down the street from me. I'm seeing him outside cutting up the hedges one summer. Now, he never comes out. He never does any of the yard work. I always see his wife out there. Now, you know, that has nothing to do with my perception of how their relationship is going, to each his own. If that's what she do and he doesn't, and whatever. But I see him out there one day, which was odd. So, you know, I peeped that out, and I started talking to him. Hey, what's going on? He cuts up these hedges, and, I mean, he just destroys his hedge. And later, as I was talking to him, after his wife was in the house, he said, man, I did this, so she don't have to ask me to do this no more. So it is something that he could be good at, but he purposely did not do it, so he didn't have to do it no more.
That's a smart man. That's a smart man. She won't ask no more.
Good words. Fellas, I'm going to keep it moving. We've got a few more minutes left, but I want to run these two clips back-to-back. Here's clip number one.
That's something that has to be taught, and unfortunately, we as men, a lot of us don't know how to do it because we've never been taught. And you know, the funny thing is that we take more time and effort to learn how to drive a car than we do on learning how to be married and raising kids. And we go out there and we wing it. And then we turn around and have, you know, bumped up kids and falling apart families because we don't take the time to get on calls like this, to seek counseling, to seek, you know, instruction or classes to learn how to do these things. They don't just come on us when we get to be a certain age. We have to seek the information from those who already understand it.
That's clip number one, and here is clip number two.
Hey, can I ask a question? As head of household, are we responsible for the marriage maintenance? Are we responsible for calls like this, or maybe couples retreats or things of that nature? Are we responsible for finding out when the wife isn't happy and seeking counseling? Is that our job too? Or should we, you know, be in a situation where we have to wait for our wife to come to us and say, well, we need to do some marriage maintenance. We need to get a marriage checkup or go get some counseling from a pastor or something like that. Is it our job to be on top of that as well?
It's our responsibility.
Yeah, we talked about pride 2 weeks ago, but why does our pride and ego keep us from seeking out the knowledge and the information that will ultimately help us to become better fathers and better husbands?
Now, Wendy, you might have the wrong group, because we're all actually on this call, so you might have the wrong group.
I think it's down to the second.
Well, we've had guys on this call that have never heard from again. You know, they've got on and they say, man, that was great.
The clip is over with, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know the clip was over.
Yeah, that's
me.
Yeah. To the clip too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just listening like, wow, this is great.
Hey, this is all tip. Yeah, I'm that good. But, yeah, I mean... Really, sometimes the pride and ego gets in the way. You know,
sure,
we don't want to. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Sure. If you were talking, I was just saying, sure, pride and ego gets in the way and hinders some of the times. But however, you know, the term head of household kind of speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're responsible. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, it's not my responsibility, but yet you want to stick your chest out and put your head up, you know, and give out orders in the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Good words.
Yeah, this is great. Now, we'll play another clip. Here's another clip. Just keeping it moving. Since I got the wrong guys, thank you all for hanging in there with me. This is only 20 seconds.
Should do, you know. I mean, being faithful to your wife is,
Yeah, that's good between you two, but it goes higher than that. You know, I mean, once you make those vows, you made those vows to her as well as to God. So once you step out of that, then I think, you know, you ruined it overall.
Okay, the clip is over. Does the fact that you were once unfaithful preventing you from being classified as a good father or a good husband?
That should have been your monkey wrench right there.
Hey, that's 11. I got another one for 11.
That's strong.
Yeah.
It all depends on how you recover.
Okay. Speak on it, please.
I just think it all depends on how you recover. I mean, we all know weakness happens. You know, things happen. We're human, you know. But if you handle it like a man and recover like a man, I think that you can still keep your title as a father and head of household. Not saying that what you did was okay, but as long as you recover in the correct manner as a man, I think that you have a better chance at regaining your title.
And what's the recovery like a man look like? What does that look like?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say, man. If you did it and you're like, I didn't do it, what me? You know what I'm saying? Or, honey, yes, I did do it, and this is why I did it, and that was the moment of weakness. It was this, it was that. And you own up to it and say, these are the things that I need your help, so I'll never do it again. Whatever, I mean, just own up to it,
right.
I guess. Don't run from it. Head of households don't run.
Correct. And I don't think you truly lose your title. I think you might lose the respect from others of that title, but the title belongs to you.
Yeah.
Mm. That's just like saying that child belongs to you. You can deny, you can push away, you can forget or what have you, but at the end of the day, that child's still yours.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But aren't y'all grateful, you know, that despite, you know, maybe you weren't unfaithful, but, you know, despite all of your other many faults, that she stayed with your raggedy behind all these many years.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I'm grateful.
Yeah, that's a throwaway. That's a throwaway. But going to keep it moving. Going to keep it moving. Is your wife the one preventing you from being a good husband and father, always criticizing you and cutting you down while you're steadily trying to do the right thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a constant thing. But then, you know, my wife's guilty of that sometimes. You know, I have to remind her, I especially early, I had to remind her certain things she couldn't gripe about in front of the kids.
Yeah.
You know, that I was not doing. You know, that compromises my authority.
Yeah.
And don't we ultimately need our wives' support? I mean,
instead of
the constant criticizing.
Right. Yeah.
That's huge. Because the moment you are divided, the kids will just make it worse.
Exactly.
They're good at that. Play one against the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to ask this. Would you consider your old lady to be a better wife or a better mother?
I ain't answering that one.
I said he ain't answering that.
Y'all go ahead. He recording, y'all. He recording. Don't play that.
Hey, that's just a question. I mean, do you consider her to be a better wife or a better mother? I mean, we're talking about, am I a better father or a better husband? What about her?
What do you mean, better what? Better than what? Better back then in the day or what?
No. In comparison, like, if you had to call it, is she a better wife or is she a better mother? Like, if you had to choose one, which one is she better at? Which one should she be striving to be better at?
I want her to be the best mother she can be.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, even though going back to the conversation, you know, definitely the priority, I see it as being her, blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. And then taking a step further, I want to be her top priority. But when it's all said and done, I really want her to be focusing on making sure that the kids' needs are met and be the best mother she can be. Because here's the thing. I can take care of me if I need to. I don't want to because I am married now and want to be able to really have someone, be in this with me. But if something needs, I would want her to take care. That's just that that's that instinct, I think, that, you know, when you were talking about earlier in the conversation, I would want my wife to be the best mother she could be, hands down. And we'll figure out the rest of the stuff.
I think I'm just the opposite. If, you know, if I had to choose, which I know I don't have to, because I'd really much rather have her be the best wife and best mother that she could be, but for the sake of the question that's been thrown out there, I would just say the best wife, because for the simple fact that she's my cheerleader, right? And the more pumped I can be to do what I'm supposed to do as a head of household, kids don't have to worry about anything. Well, in theory, they wouldn't have to worry about anything. And in essence, she's being the best mother she can be by supporting the husband, the head of household that's in that house.
I second that. Mine is a better wife, you know. But just like Rodney said, you be a better wife. We'll figure out how to get these kids raised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the brothers brought up early. You know, the kid's gonna leave at some point, so
yeah,
she spends all the time being a good mother and then not working on being that wife. Then what?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say she should strive to be the best wife she can be.
Definitely.
You have to choose, but I think we all saying we want both.
Yeah, yeah, and brother, you right on, you know, where we need to be. What time is it, fellas? What time is it?
11:01.
It's 11 o'clock. This is part of my 11 o'clock. Y'all listen to this clip. It's only about a minute.
Me, I always love children, and I always look forward to having my own. I always took care of other people's, you know, my cousins, but I did a lot to... you know, to help educate them, help, you know, give them stuff that they needed. So I knew that I was ready to be a mom, but what I didn't feel like was that I was ready to be a wife. That's where the pressure came in. Because, again, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, having a baby, I can do this. I can change diapers. I can fix bottles. I can educate. You know, I got a good job. I can support them. But the whole wife thing, that was a whole new world for me, and that was something that I totally did not feel prepared for.
Internship.
Yeah. Do you think your old lady was more prepared and ready to be a mother, but not necessarily prepared and ready to be a wife? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do too. But they prep for that. It's just like we talked before. I mean, they sit around, they plan the wedding day, they all prepare for that. They play with baby dolls, they're thinking about the concept that most of them grow up babysitting and doing all that stuff like the caller just said. They do all of that. So they're getting game experience. They are scrimmaging for the game all life in those areas. Getting married, having kids. They in the scrimmage their entire life. What scrimmage they in to get ready for the game of actually being a wife? There ain't no scrimmage. There's not one. And I'm sorry every time I get to this point, my voice gets elevated. But I'm really thinking, when you think about this, there's nothing that gets them ready for that. Not nothing. And that woman just said it. She just said it. I was all ready to be a parent and have kids and babies. And again, that goes back to what I was pointing out earlier. So we're raising our kids to have kids and to be good parents, but not to be good spouses. And it's rough when you get these women, you married to them, and you're just like, well, wait a minute, you didn't know what this entailed? You didn't know?
Yeah.
You had no idea what this entailed. You didn't know that, okay, in this day and age, most families are dual incomes, which means you have to work. You will be working. Okay, yeah, you want to have kids, and you want three kids or two or how many, so you're going to be a mom. Yes, your mother's alive, so you are still a daughter. You got a couple sisters and a brother, so you still a sibling. And now you throw into the equation, it's like it's almost like sometimes like slapping the face. You are the last thought as a husband. And that's crazy because the caller just said it.
Yeah.
It's not. There's no scrimmage for that. Where are they getting that experience? Because even if you think about it, now, fellas, this is my question to everybody that's still on the call. I'm not the most godly person
And I'm not going to church as much as I should, like a lot of y'all on the call. But y'all do the Sunday school, y'all talking about these things, and y'all do all this stuff in church. Is there anything to talk to these young girls about being spouses and wives consistently? Because when I think about the whole thing of this, you know, Christianity and the religion and all this stuff, you know, you hear a big part of it, a proponent is, you know, the wives and the husbands and in the eyes of God and blah, 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 all of that. Okay. But is anything being taught to these young girls and these young women or grown women in the church right now about what it means? Like, consistently.
You know, you raise a good point, brother, but I think also with our culture, and this falls squarely on our culture, a lot of women are quick, before they even accept that point, and you raise a good point, to say that, well, there ain't no men out there that know how to be husbands.
Yeah, but that's BS. Here's the thing. It's kind of like the analogy going back to sports. You ain't sitting on the bench just to be sitting on the bench. You're sitting on the bench getting yourself ready to get in the game. You're not worried about whether or not I'm prepared. You still need to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. I think that, and you do raise a good point. And I think that what happens is after the disaster hits, then there are support groups that tell them what was expected of them and what they can do to be a better wife. But I think as far as beforehand, no. I don't think it is. I mean,
how do we even attempt to? Because here's the thing. I mean, if you really look at it from a lot of standpoints, women have been the foundation, backbone, whatever, of family structure for a very long time, particularly in the African American community, in the Black community. But there's more to it than just raising kids. I mean, it's so much more to it than just raising kids, and it's kind of contributing to this cycle. Not saying that men aren't contributing to it, too, with our lack of and not being there or whatever things that we may be doing. But it's like, man, wow. You are getting prepared for your marriage day more so than you're getting prepared for getting married more so than you are the day, the glamour, the 6 or 7 hours of what the day entails, what you're going to eat and what your dress going to look like versus how you're going to spend your life with this person after the 6 hours, after the dress is taken off, after you spend up all the money that you got and you done broke out all the waffle irons and all that stuff and made snacks on them and got a wash, after that's all done? So you're not prepared for after that?
Yeah, that guy, you know, you're right where we need to be, brother. Thank you for that, because that was just a setup, you know, to my 11 o'clock. T-Hawk, you still there?
I'm with you, bro.
I'm about to do the same thing that I did at 10 o'clock. I'm looking at my computer screen right now, and we've got 9 brothers on the line. I guess I lost one at that 10 o'clock hour, that 10 o'clock question, but I'm going to give you each the opportunity to hang up right now because the next question is another monkey wrench of all monkey wrenches. It might even be the whole toolbox. So I'm going to give you 3 seconds to hang up right now before I ask the question. Now, don't hang up afterwards because, remember, I'm watching, and we only got about 30 minutes to go. But that brother was talking about life. What about that child you never had? That time when you were about to be a father, but your lady miscarried or had your baby aborted. Heavy, bro. Heavy.
Can't help you out on this one.
Yeah, that was just a throwaway. I figured I'd ask it.
No, I mean, I don't think it's a throwaway. I think it's a good question for somebody that, you know, has gone through that because a lot of people have gone through that.
And that might be one of them questions that really don't need a response, you know?
Yeah. We can build on it because I think that right there could also lead to havoc in a marriage.
Yeah.
Especially when they don't. I got a friend of mine right now, actually a coworker, who has had that very thing. and they're trying to adopt, they're trying to artificial insemination, they're trying everything possible to have a child. And that right there is just so, it's so overwhelming. You know, it's like an obsession at this point. You know, and I know it's hard on the marriage. I know it's heavy on both of them because they don't know who's the party that can't, you know, reproduce. They don't know which one it is. You know, but again, I think that that is something that can seriously injure your marriage.
Yeah, you know, my ex-wife, you know, me and my ex-wife, we experienced a miscarriage, and yeah, definitely contributed greatly to our divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to come back from that.
Yeah, you know, it's rough. I mean, you know, it's, you know, everybody's different, but yeah, it can definitely be a hit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you talk about the abortion piece. You know, if there were two people together that were jointly saying, okay, this is not time for us to have a child, and they together go ahead and have an abortion. But if you got the one person that's more dominant on it, like the wife going out and getting it done without the husband's permission or the husband forcing the wife to do it, then that could lead to a lot of resentment too, you know.
Good words. Good words. Yeah, I thought I'd ask it. I appreciate y'all digging deep. Appreciate that. But I'm going to get this train back on the tracks. And give me 20 minutes, I'm going to land this plane. Yeah, the landing, yeah. But listen to this clip real quick. It's only 10 seconds.
And what happens when we're trying to get right? You know what I mean? And we're talking and we're trying to be better, but they're not trying to get the same type of assistance that we're seeking.
What if your wife is not striving or has no desire to get better? Is that inhibiting your desire to better yourself as a husband or as a father? Since she has no desire, she's not striving, is that hindering your desire to better yourself?
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't. But does it? Can it?
That depends on the individual, I guess, if that individual would allow that to take place. But my guess is if they allow that to take place, then they probably allow other people in the work environment or friends or church or whatever to hinder them from being better.
The words, the words. Anybody else got anything on that?
Hey, I got something to say. I think, this is Ernest. I think it can, because that is your wife. You know, above all, you know, that's your life partner. So if you're not, you know, on the same page there, so you may be striving. I think it is a drag if your wife isn't there with you. I mean, you can kind of break away and kind of go independently, but I think it's always going to have some type of effect just because of the nature of the relationship.
Good words.
Good
words, brother.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm going to go out on a limb. And please, somebody pull me back in if I go too far out. But as head of the households, is it our responsibility to constantly get better regardless of what they do?
Yeah.
Regardless of what they do, being the weaker vessel, is it our responsibility to always stay on top of our game so we can be continuously be the best head that we can? I may be wrong. I mean, it's just a question. Because
I
do believe.
I think you're right. I think you're right 100%.
Regardless of what they do, whether they go to counseling, whether they just stay the same.
Hmm. It's our duty. It's hard to do, but that's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
You know, that's what we're obligated to do. I mean, leadership has its privileges and its disadvantages. And
yeah.
For the disadvantages to do right when no one else in the house is willing to even think about doing right.
Right, man.
Well, and you know, and I agree with T 100%. And but you have to dial that back really, even down to the individual level, because that's where it starts. And yes, I understand that the two become one and all. I understand that, but it, you know, you do have to work out your own life, so so to speak, without getting too biblical or whatever, but you have to work it out your own self. I know that the two are one, but there's two individuals who have become one, and you have to work out in you something before you can start expressing it or off on the household or the neighborhood or city or country or world or whatever case, whatever your aspirations are. But you have to do something within you first. So if you allow anything to hinder, or I'll just use myself, if I allow anything to hinder Rodney, regardless on what that thing is, then I got to deal with me. It's got to come, whether that's wife, kids, mom, dad, or whatever. I got to deal with me.
But Rodney, let me ask you this, bro. Actually, let me play this before I ask you. Listen to this.
I think it's you know, we do these things, and because this is what we want to do, but in accepting that, you know, there's a time, you know, the more knowledge you get, the more responsibility you get. It's just when you have those kids and when you get married, it's accepting. It's a hard thing for us to accept. Or maybe we don't even think about the fact that we got to put some of our personal things aside. A lot of us don't want to give it up. And you just don't want to give up that you're going to have to sacrifice what really sometimes comes down to your own happiness. You know, being happy about some things, or you might have to learn to be happy about other things, or learn to be happy in a different way. That's a tough thing.
Just following up on Rodney's point, you know, in some cases, fellas, do we have to sacrifice our own happiness in order to be a good father or a good husband?
Mm.
Going deep here, fellas.
You're getting deep, bro.
Yeah.
I don't think you should have to, but sometimes that comes with the territory.
I would agree with that. I don't think you should have to, but it does sometimes come with the territory.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know if sacrifice. I would probably say you'd have to substitute sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of going to play golf or what have you, and I know that might be a little stretching it or whatever, but going to play golf or what have you, and your wife wants to go to the movies, I don't know if it's a sacrifice, per se, for me to say, because a sacrifice would indicate that the golf is worth more than my wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm just substituting and saying, well, I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to do this. I'm still going to be happy irregardless. At least I should. Now, if you're not happy with going to the movies with your wife, then that's a whole nother topic for another day, I guess.
Good words. And I'm gonna just take this thing even deeper, if I could, if I may. Y'all listen to this. This is actually my brother, but listen to this guy.
I think one of the things that kept coming up regarding being the head of the household, people were commenting on some of the shortcomings of other men in their lives, and you know, maybe their dad or uncle or somebody, but I think one of the things that I've realized as I've grown older is, you know, as head of the household, I think, and as a Christian man, you ought to be thinking about, you know, I think one of the things that you'll find in men that you saw shortcomings in as a father, as a husband, is that they weren't thinking very far down the road. And I think a lot of the guys here, you know, people are talking about their children and how they don't want their children to see, or how they do want their children to see good examples of how, you know, a man and a husband should be in a household. And I think as head of the household, I think the vision piece is very important. You know, knowing, realizing that the things you do, the decisions you make, will have impacts generations beyond your current generation. And I think a lot of men who had shortcomings weren't thinking along those lines. They were thinking, you know, what I want then, what's good for me, and not considering the impacts of future generations.
Can your shortcomings of not being a good father or a good husband really have an effect on your future generations?
Let's show.
Definitely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because essentially with what you're doing in your marriage or with regards to being a father, you are the window to the life that your offspring aspire to have. So no matter what that house looks like that they build, and when I'm using house, I mean the life that they are building, the window that they look through it in order to gaze into it will always be what they saw with you. You set the frame or the backdrop or the canvas for whatever it is. And it takes a strong person to say, you know what? I'm going to change this backdrop, or I don't like this canvas. I'm not going to use paper. I'm not going to use watercolors. I'm going to use charcoal or something in order to create this. That doesn't necessarily happen. 9 times out of 10, we've talked about it. We are influenced by our childhood, our parents, our upbringing. So you kind of fall into that. Now, the lucky ones maybe get a second shot at it in some capacity. But some of us don't get that. We won't get that. It will be this one time or that's it. But I think that it ultimately does, because it really is the window to how they're going to view everything else. Mm. It's going to be that way.
And
just like you talked about.
Go ahead, Tony.
And just like you talked about earlier about you know, wives doing things on sheer memory. And if that's what they remember, because that's what they saw, that's what they saw their mothers do, that's what they saw their grandmothers do, and unfortunately, if it's not the right thing, their daughters are going to see them do it.
Right?
Right.
And it's
absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that kind of question up and for the comments that were just made, but it is crucial that this is recognized, because we need to work on those shortcomings for those very reasons, because it does affect these next generations of individuals who are coming up, and we have to work on them because they're watching, as Tony was describing. You know, they're watching it, and yes, it does affect them, but it also has an effect if they see how we constantly better ourselves. Constantly push ourselves, constantly improve ourselves. And if they're watching that as well, then that next generation should be better off than the generation past.
But Rodney, is there one that we should strive to be better at, father or husband? Like, is there one that we should focus in on? Is there one in particular that we should strive to be better at?
I think what you should be striving to be the best you can be at is head of household. Because I think if you strive to be the best with that, both of those roles will fall underneath that.
Amen.
That. And then I'll probably say it another way and just saying, you should strive to be the best at where you are. So, I mean, if you're just a husband, you don't have any kids, then you're spending time bettering yourself in a situation that you might never be in, don't know the situation to everyone, while you're taking away time of bettering yourself in a situation you're already in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. You know, and then so you strengthen yourself as a husband. Let's just say we did it the right way. We had, you know, we were a husband, and then we've improved on that, and now we're becoming a father. Now we need to, you know, spend some time in being a better father. Now, by that time, we should have some type of upbringing, some type of teaching or something, whether, as I think Tony said earlier, whether it teaches you what not to do or at least teaches you what to do. Some type of upbringing, some type of influence, a role model or something has taught us, and we can build off of that.
Yeah, and I'd even take it deeper than that, fellas. I mean, you know, bottom line, we should be striving to be the best all around. You know, the best husband, the best father, the best employee, the best boss, the best neighbor, the best brother, the best son, the best uncle, the best friend. I mean, when you talk about being a head of household, I mean,
right.
It's, you know, they're the best all around, you know, in all areas. No matter who you talk to, it's like, yeah, that guy Tony, yeah, he's all right. You know, whether you talk to your wife or a friend or the boss man, I mean, it don't even matter.
Right.
Yeah, but I want to ask y'all this, and we're coming to a close. I might land this thing early. Stay with me on which one do you think that you're better at? You know, we're getting close to the end here. Which one do you think that you're better at? Now, you got to pick one, a father or a husband. You got to pick one. Now, y'all wouldn't pick one with your wife, but I'm going to ask you, which one do you think that you're better at, being a father or being a husband? And be honest.
I think I'm better at being a husband.
Okay, why is that, brother?
To be honest. You know, there's different reasons. I don't know if I know we don't have time to get into all of that, but I would probably just say that in summary that it's I think I work at being, and my wife challenges me really to work at being a better husband, where children don't challenge, or at least not in my house anyway, they're not challenging me in ways that my wife challenges me to be a better father. They're challenging, my wife's challenged me to be a better husband, though.
Good words.
Yeah. Call them on the carpet where they can't.
Yeah, and in essence, you probably challenge yourself as far as being a better father, you know, versus the kids saying, hey,
right,
you need to shape it up.
Anybody else? I'm going to jump on his bandwagon, and I'm going to say better husband.
Okay. Good words.
My reason just a little bit different because, you know, we got teenagers, and I want them out of the house.
Get out of here.
Y'all got to go.
They inhibiting you from being the better husband, bro.
Nah, they really don't. We don't pay them no mind, you know.
Right. Oh, man. Anybody else want to take a stab at that? Which one you had to pick? You're taking a multiple choice test, one question. Which one do you think you're better at, being a father or being a husband?
I would say being a husband, just because personally I've been a husband longer. My daughter's still very young, so you're just starting to, you know, really, really get into the fatherly aspect. But also I want to circle back on something. I think, you know, being a good father is one thing, but I think it's also important for our kids to see us being a good husband. Because that's going to become normal. We talk about setting precedents for a future generation. You know, they're going to mimic what they see. So if you being a good husband, you know, I think that's also being a good father because you're teaching them what should be acceptable going forward.
Good words.
Good words.
Yeah. Well, let me flip this thing on around. Getting closer, fellas. We're getting closer. Which one do you think your wife would say that you're better at? Now, she's, you know, taking that same multiple choice test, and she got to pick one. Which one would she say that you're better at, being a father or being a husband?
Now, you know my wife don't see no wrong in me.
Oh, man, good words.
Mine would probably say better husband, too.
Okay.
I mean, prime example, today was a lecture day. The kids were out of school. We left out of here, I would say, about 11, because we woke off today, and we didn't get back till 8:30. Left the kids in the house. Y'all do whatever y'all want to do, we gone. I mean, that's just how we roll. You know what I mean? It's not that we neglect them, but y'all teenagers. You should be able to handle your own business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Speaking of them teenagers, T-Hawk, listen to this. Wouldn't you like that? Pitch it to her like that.
When does the raising ever end? When does the accommodation for kids ever end?
That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know too, T-Hawk. When does it ever end? When does parenting ever end?
I know I got on this call for a good reason. Go ahead, somebody tell me this.
Hey, Rodney, you and I, and we've been right at this point before. All right. I will tell you this. My 22-year-old called me today. And you all know she lives down in Miami, and she ran into a financial jam.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. It's all good. I gave her 2 minutes of parenting and the rest solution. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you're old enough now, and you're out there, you're doing it your way. Not the way I said to do it. You're doing it your
right.
way. So you got to figure out how to navigate through this. You know what I'm saying? I am going to help you because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But I'm not going to preach to you because now you got to figure it out. You made the call. I'm going to help you. You know what I'm saying? But it's not going to be every month help. It's going to be this help. I'm going to bail you out of this situation, and then you got to figure it out on your own.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is. It's a certain time where you got to cut the cord.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, now I'm going to bail you out because I have to, because there's nobody else to do it, you know. But as far as making sure that it doesn't happen again, you have to figure that part out. So at a certain point, you have to back up off of them and let them get up, wipe their bruises, and figure out how not to fall again.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when I want to, that's great that you said that, T-Hawk, because, you know, that's next to, you know, we're almost getting to the final question. But, you know, when we're talking about being a better father or a better husband, is it your fear of failure that's preventing you from being a better father or a better husband? Fear of failure? Fear that you won't live up, you know, to whatever you're setting out to do?
If your fear is failure, yeah, if your fear is failure, you're not going to fail.
Right, that's what I was going to say. If my fear is failure, then that's actually what I'm digesting to push me.
To,
you know what I mean? That's what I'm using to motivate me and get me going. Because I don't want to fail.
Yeah, and I mean, who should actually have a say-so anyway on whether you're a good father or a good husband or not? I mean, is it you, your wife, your kids, your parents, or somebody else entirely? I mean, who gets a say-so on whether Tony or Rodney is a good father or good husband? Who gets that say-so?
I think in terms of, and I hate to just kind of keep jumping out there, but I think in terms of saying if I'm a good father, it has to be for my kids, and if I'm a good husband, it has to be for my wife. I know I'll probably get some negative feedback from that, and some people might say, well, that's really up to me whether or not I am a good one or not. But I'm not my child, and I'm not my wife.
No.
So.
And I agree with that. Because I think that you can only do what you can do.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as a super parent. You know, you hear so many situations where you have multiple kids and you got one kid that's a straight A student and the other one's a dropout. And then you ask yourself, where did I go wrong? You know, it's not that you just want them to pay attention at least half of what you say. So
yeah.
I think that the result will also determine what you are,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, with
right.
the father. And, I mean, if you're getting the results from your kids that you want, then maybe that means you're a great father, and the same thing with your wife. But if you're getting the resistance, you're getting the flack from both sides, then I think that, you know, that will determine where you got to step your game up.
Yeah, and let me just throw this in there. Just to elaborate better on what I said was that it's with my kids and with my wife, it becomes a self-check for me for what they have to say. You know, what they say is not the holy grail, so to speak, because obviously I know what I've done and how I've progressed and how I've changed and how I've grown and blah, blah, blah. So I do have my own mind as well, but listening to my kids, who are my children, who could better identify with whether or not I'm a good father, same with my wife, I'm using what they say as a self-check. And if I do the self-check and find out what they're saying is right, then I have to work on those areas.
Yeah, because, I mean, the reality is, and just the next to the last question, fellas, can you even handle the truth that you're not that great of a father or not that great of a husband? Or would you rather be lied to just to make you feel good or to get your ego stroked? Mm. It's strong tonight, brothers.
Well, we know we need that ego stroke.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, can you handle the truth? You know, your wife saying, you ain't that great of a husband, bro. You know?
Not all
the time. You ain't that great of a father. Yeah, I mean, that gets hurtful sometimes.
But guess what? I'd rather hear that than hear, yo, didn't I see your wife at the strip club the other night? I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Come tell me what I'm doing, the areas I need to improve in, and let me work on it. Opposed to not saying anything and then you going off on your own, doing your own thing.
Right.
I agree with that. And I'll use an example of cooking. You know, my wife likes to, you know, she likes to play Emeril in the kitchen, and she'll get all the different recipes, and she'll, you know, buy all kind of different things that I've never even heard of, and she'll cook it up. And sometimes they're, you know, they're great. Now, I'm very blunt, and I'll be like, that's nasty. That's just, that does not taste good at all. And you know, yeah, you know, I don't think it hurts her feeling because we understand each other at this point. And she's like, you know, yeah, okay. But now on the flip side of that, she doesn't always tell me. She's always trying to protect my feelings. And so we get into, you know, kind of heated conversations about, just tell me the truth because I know what you're thinking. And maybe that is what she's thinking. And maybe in my mind I'm thinking, well, no, it wasn't that good. And I got my own opinion of it, and it's stronger than what I think her opinion is. But this is, you know, in terms of honesty, that's the that's for me, that's the best thing, because I'm going to give it to you, and I'm just expecting you to give it back at me.
Yeah.
Good words.
Another question.
Oh, go ahead, brother.
There's one monkey wrench to all this. I mean, you could be in a scenario where you may not be perceived a good husband or father by the individuals, but you actually are. I mean, you can have a situation where you have a teenager that's out of control, but you've been a good father by trying to rein them in. But they're not, you're not perceived as a good father to them because you may be, they seem overly barren. So I think, you know, it got to be a little personal, you know, retrospect as well, in addition to that outside feedback, to really come to a conclusion there.
No, I agree with the brother, and that's what I was trying to, when I had to go back and expound on what I said, I felt necessary, and that's why, because what I was saying was that to use that feedback as a check system, and I go back and say, well, is this, and then if I find out that it is just, after my evaluation, I find out that it is just a disobedient teenager, which we know how they can be, then obviously I'm not buying into it, and I'm not changing the rules of the house to fit a disobedient teenager. But I think it's at least, I don't think I can completely dismiss what's being said. I think I have to go back and at least check it to make sure. Because again, that arrogance and that ego want to creep in, that pride wants to creep in too, and saying, no, I am a good father, I don't care what you say. And I have to take, you know, if something's going on, I have to at least take what you're saying seriously, just for the moment. After I evaluate it, then we can make a decision.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, the final question for the night, brothers, and then we'll close this thing down. Are the definitions for being a good husband and a good father basically the same? Bottom line, are they basically the same?
That is a good question.
You said a good husband and a good father?
Yeah.
What you said?
Yeah, or the definition is basically the same. Synonymous.
Yes, I would have to say that.
We got a chatter that said it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. Did they give reason?
No, he didn't give reason. I think he might be typing it in there.
Okay.
Yeah, and while he's typing, let me help you all out. Final clip for the conclusion. This is about 30 seconds while the brother's typing.
I am ultimately responsible, okay? I am responsible to make sure that there are funds to pay the bills. I am responsible for the well-being financially, physically, and spiritually of my family. That doesn't mean that my wife doesn't help, and it doesn't mean that in times she doesn't take the lead in certain things. But the bottom line is I'm held accountable. And Rodney talked about it with his opening statement. Bottom line is I am going to stand before God, and he's going to say, what did you do with the family I entrusted you with?
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's why that I don't even need to say much more than that, but yeah, I agree with everything you said. And the yes, again, reiterating the yes to the father and the husband role, kind of one and the same. And there's biblical reasons on why I say that, but without getting into all of that, I just say yes. They're synonymous.
Yeah.
Good words. Good words.
You want to discuss what the caller said, Rodney? I mean, the chatter said, Rodney.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And Chatter said that, know that men can be great husbands and have no kids, and vice versa. Was terrible at being a good husband, but a fantastic father to his kids. And, you know, maybe you weren't that great of a husband, and, you know, y'all are now separated or even divorced, but we know you can still be a good father even though you don't live with the children.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, what's important. Good chat, fellas. We're going to shut this thing down. Got y'all into the gate a little bit early, 20 minutes early. And I'm going to do something different with the conclusion. I'm going to let these guys close it down for me. Y'all listen to this. This is about 2 minutes.
Another outlet, but I think this is a perfect segue to, you know, what I spoke about earlier. Is the most important aspect of being the head of household is the spiritual well-being of our families. And, you know, a lot of times we, you know, think financial and physical, you know, and physical is important too, but the spiritual aspect is the most important because, you know, as we know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in places. And that, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road, you know, as far as, you know, what are we doing for our families? You know, are we being, you know, are we leading by example? And, you know, the Christian father should set an example for his family, of course, as he earns a living, directs the household, you know, as he fulfills his role as the head of the house. But he should see to their spiritual development by the life he lives and the direction in which he leads his family. So, you know, and that goes back to love, you know, and the love for our family. We should want, you know, their spiritual well-being to be, you know, to be in the right place, you know, when it comes down to it.
And the only thing that you could do is what I keep coming back with, everything that we said to do, the phone calls, leading by example. The only thing that keep coming back in my mind is the only thing you could truly do, if anything, is pray and teach your children to pray, to meditate. So when you run into that problem, daddy might not always have the answer. Mama might not always have the answer. You're not always going to get the answer on here, the household phone call. You're going to have to sometimes, you have to go into your closet. And you have to, the ultimate answer is going to come from God. So that's just what I keep, getting back to. I'm listening and I'm But it ain't no right answer. The only right answer is what's between you and the Lord.
That's what's up.
Yeah, but you know what? And those are good words, and let me just interject real quick. But what we are responsible for as fathers, as head of household, is to provide the foundation for our children.
Mm.
Because the foundation gives them an escape. When it all goes to hell and everything's going wrong and they don't know what to do, they've lost control, they've lost grip. We provide that foundation for them to say, well, wait a minute, there's one thing that I can do, and that's pray. There's one place I can go back to is that Bible that my father always talked about. Go back to that story in Matthew that my father talked about. You know what I mean? We have to give them, because our kids,
exactly,
they love their father.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
They love their moms, but they love their father, especially if the father's in their life. And they want to they want to go back and say, this is what my daddy told me back in the day. Let me go back to that. You got to have that foundation. If you don't have it, then they're going to be lost and they'll stay lost. They'll have nothing to come back.
That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show brought to you by the Head of Household. You can join us again next Tuesday. And
The topic will be to be determined. Check the website.
To be determined.
Yeah. Check the website. For more information, please feel free to go to our website, householdstress.com. Again, householdstress.com.
You are now free to move about the country.